Pa-pa-pa.
Welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie Mack.
Yes, yes.
Please clap.
And I'm joined, as always,
by Very White Guy.
And you're very white indeed. What's up, man?
You know, I think this sums me up right now.
Notice me, senpai. Notice me.
You're excited, huh?
I just, you know, I'm ready.
Yeah, it's been way too long. We're so sorry, all 12 of you that were looking for an episode last week. I was away and it just became impossible. The sound was not great on last week's episode or 2 weeks ago's episode, and we didn't want to risk it again. And then my mom was here, and you know, she takes precedence over all. So,
yeah.
But we're giving you two episodes this week. We've got some great guests lined up for the rest of the month. We have Roja Sheep from Musings of a Sheep podcast.
She's going to tell you about
fucking drop all the knowledge on the Bitcoin situation.
Yeah.
I can get myself all together.
What's the overarching term? Not Bitcoin.
I don't know.
Cryptocurrency. Oh, she's going to give you the cryptocurrency lowdown. Yeah.
I'm excited about that because I don't know anything about it, so it's going to be good. And then next week, we have the Podfather and the Queen of all podcasts coming on the show together for the first time on our show, Rod and Karen from The Black Guy Who Did It. We have had them each separately. We've had Karen on multiple times. She's one of my favorite guests, probably my favorite guest. No offense to anybody else. But Rod's going to be with her this time, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, and I'll have to just say, like, you know, they're the hardest working duo in podcasts, like, whatever's, like, ever. Like, ooh. Really, they like,
listen,
they're on the grind. This is their day off.
Yeah.
This is the day they do,
they're
going to record.
The day they don't do a show,
they're going to come do our John. That's fucking, that's commitment.
And
man.
Listen, we're struggling just getting this one on the
Some
air
work.
Every week. So,
yeah.
And
again, I take full responsibility for the crap audio last week. That was totally me. I guess I don't know what I did. I'm here at the John HQ, and you were
out and about.
I was in charge, and something didn't happen.
Well, my
bad.
Try and mitigate those situations moving forward, specifically with the number of days I'm going to be away for, because we can't keep it that long again. If this is your first time joining us, welcome.
Thank you.
You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's JAWN. If you're able to, please subscribe on either one of those two options. We're also on like Podbean and any of the podcast catchers. Our RSS feed is on there, so just search us. And you can email us. We love feedback as well. You can email us at interracialjohn@gmail.com. You can also, and we'll read it here on the air, you can also leave us a 5-star review on either iTunes or Stitcher, and we will play it, or we'll read that on the air too, but only 5 stars, and you can't be an asshole. And easiest of all, you can call us and leave us a voicemail. Just dial 657-JOHNERS, 657-JAWNERS, and if it's under 3 minutes and not crazy, we'll play it on the show. Shout out to Rod and Karen from The Black Guy Who Tips for our general feedback rules.
Yeah, I totally stalked them on their voicemail on their Saturday show, like, you know, for real, like, I would call in, like, not every week, but...
Oh, I call in a lot. Probably,
a lot of
probably call-ins. I call in, I bet, we'll have to ask them next week, but I probably call in, like, more than any other... I don't know if anybody else calls in as much as me. That's not, like, a direct friend.
I wouldn't say that's a bad thing.
Well, sometimes I have stuff to say, and they're kind enough to let me say it. That's the beauty of The Black Guy Who Tips. It's why it's such a great community of not just people that podcast, but people generally speaking.
Cause right on.
Super, just cool people.
So that's sweet.
So
good couple of guests.
Chat room. Those of you that are in the chat room that listen to our show as well. All two of you, probably.
Leonard and Black Rob.
Oh, yeah. Leonard and Black Rob, probably. Yeah. Yes. So.
We've been apart. We had some travels.
Yeah.
And I haven't really been telling you much because I wanted to save it for the podcast.
No, like literally, I'm like, so how was blah, blah? And you're like, nah, we got to save it for the podcast.
So.
Like, you didn't tell me shit about anything.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, so I'm in Colorado, in Denver, with my boy, Dr. Smooth Mustache.
Mm-hmm. And the doctor was in.
I'm bogarting his vacation. Like, you're gone, right? You've left town. And it's like, oh, I'm going to be home by myself. Like, you know, that's kind of a bummer. Like, whatever. Like, so I was like, you know, what am I going to do? And he's like, oh, you got to come out. You got to come out. Got one of these, like, Southwest. Shout out Southwest. Give him credit.
Don't give away free advertising.
Yeah, please. Dude, they gave me a fucking getaway. I want to get away fare for, like, $112 round trip. It was crazy. So anyway, I'm like, I'm going to Denver last minute. Let me just like you know, tweet a couple of people and be like, hey, you know. And I knew a few people specifically that were in Denver, like Elizabeth Epps and Six Finger Tim and Jesse Bannon and his wife, Jessica.
Shout out.
So I was like, hey, you know, anyone in, you know, Colorado, let's kind of meet up. You know, maybe we can do something, blah, blah, skibbity boo boo. And so a bunch of people were like, yeah, that sounds great. You know, let's totally do it. So I get to Colorado. And anyone that listens to the podcast maybe knows a little bit of the travails of my boy, Smooth Mustache. You know, like Chonilla's Pete, my Smooth Mustache, he's a mess. And so we had intended to meet up and be out there. And like kind of the last minute, he's like, oh, I ran in and found somebody on Facebook that I used to kind of know. And like we were together, you know, a couple of like bunch of years ago. And
so
you know,
I've heard some of this story, but like you better be careful. Because people could hear that know these people and are these people.
I'm just saying. So we're out and you know he's like, listen, I'll be you know we're staying at someone else's house. So things changed and I tell everyone on, that I'm trying to meet up. Like, okay, we're gonna maybe meet this day or that day. So finally we like get together and we're like, okay, it's gonna be Thursday. It's at this comedy club. We're gonna you know see a set. We're gonna you know meet up here and there. So first and foremost. Elizabeth Epps, who I think many people know, she's in the Colorado area. She's a lawyer. She's going through some actually, we just tweeted a link to help raise some legal defense fees for her. She's defending herself in court, but like transcripts and all the bullshit they make you fucking like pay is ridiculous. So
extortion.
Really. Extortion. So she right away was kind of like, I baited and switched her. Like, well, where's Leslie Mack? Like, what do you mean it's just you? Just very white guy. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to imply that it was like the John. Like, I fully appreciate you're getting the like much lesser half of the interracial John. Like, I get it. But like, you know, will this do? And she's like, yeah, okay, all right. But so we get there and I'm not even kidding. Like, I say this with all love and sincerity. She was like a stan. She was really like, she was kind of like, oh, where's Leslie Mack? I was really looking forward to her. I wanted to see her. Aww. She said something about when certain people followed her, she like took a screen cap of the like, you know, so-and-so just followed you and just like a little happy dance kind of thing. And she said that she did that of like, she named a few people. I was like, dang, this is like, yeah, I'd be really pumped if like, you know, Jimmy Lemieux followed me. Like, sure, yeah, that's a good follow.
That's
yeah,
a great
like,
follow.
And then she's like, and Leslie Mack. I was like, huh. Oh, okay. Like, I
didn't even and know me?
That. Yeah, you were in this list of like amazing people. She was really excited. So she was really, really pumped.
I'll say this. I'm very stingy with the follow.
I know.
Not
I know.
On purpose, but just because I like to keep my timeline clean. Right, so that like, makes, I use it.
That's a good segue. That's a good segue.
Don't be following people.
That's a good segue into... Please, if you would right now on Twitter, pull up Dr. Sixfinger Esquire, if you would, please.
Me? You want me to?
Yeah, I would. Okay. Yeah. It's, his at is Dr. Six, all spelled out, S-I-X, fingers, okay. E-S-Q. Dr. Sixfingers Esquire.
D-R?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. S-I-X? Okay.
Go. Fingers, yeah.
Okay, I'm on him now.
Oh, he follows you, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So we're again talking about you, and I don't know why, like, you're like the, I know why, because you're much, much better than me. We've already laid that foundation that you're the better half by like tenfold. So, Tim's like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I've been following Leslie for a bunch and, you know, really this and this. And, you know, I was like, oh, and like, I remember I said to him, I said, yeah, when I told her who I was meeting with, she's like, who? I was like, you know him. You know, I'm sure you've engaged him on Twitter. She's like, I don't know. So now he was feeling kind of like some kind of way. And he's like, oh man, like, I was really hoping maybe like someday she'd follow me. I'm like, well, listen, I have some clout. I'll see what I can do. There was a time on the podcast where someone like had a block and she unblocked and this and that. So maybe if you could live now, follow Tim. Maybe
I followed him already.
You did already?
I did when you said it to me.
All right. So
when you saw him, he, let's see, we can go back through the tweets because then we can.
Because I told him I'd get the follow. I told him I'd hook him up. So that's all. That's all I needed. But so then back to Miss Epps and Tim at the comedy club. They got there before me, okay? And it was hard for me to explain to the people I was with in real life, but people that know Twitter get this inherently. Like, you know somebody on Twitter, but you don't really know them.
Right.
You know their avatar, you know their handle, you know what they tweet, but you don't know them personally. But nevertheless, you have engagements and some knowledge of that individual. So I'm telling everyone I'm with, like, yeah, we're meeting up with people I know from online, but I've never met them before. And like, what? Like, they couldn't quite understand that. Like, right. What do you mean you don't know
it's
them?
Like, it's kind of weird.
Hold on, I'll adjust my microphone on the phone because it's busted. But so they were really confused by that. They couldn't quite understand, like, what? Like, you're meeting somebody that you don't know? Like, so anyway, so we, I tell Elizabeth and I tell Tim in a group DM that, like, you know, here's what I look like. Like, I had my, Avi at the time, I think, said, like, raised better white people, so I didn't have my, like, actual picture up, which I've had before. I'm not, like, ashamed or, like, hiding or anything like that. I'm not, like, a dog, Avi, or, like, a fucking egg or nothing.
Right.
But so I tell him, like, yeah, I'm, like, you know, 6'4", 250 pounds. I'll be wearing, like, a fucking Scully-type deal I like to have on at this time, blah, 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 blah. So I give him a description of me, and I tell him a description of the other people I'm with, Dr. Smooth Mustache and the other individual we're with, who's very tall, and she's, like, 6 foot tall kind of thing.
Right.
So I tell him, like, you know, we're this Motley Crue, you can't miss us. So then I get there, and she starts pointing out people she thought I was. Oh, fucking MG.
Oh, like, my God. If we do any other... Wait, who she thought you specifically were,
yeah,
or the whole description of the group?
So first of all,
I'm trying to decide.
Well, because I was late coming in, so my boy and what's her name? I don't want to say her name, but
my old girl.
My boy and girl were there. I wasn't. So they're like trying to like say, is that very white guy? Is that very white guy? And so they tell me later, like, oh, we thought that was you. I'm like, that? You thought that was me? Are you fucking kidding me?
What was wrong with the people?
Oh, my God. Like, one of them was one of the guys that, like, got up and did, like, a bit of a comedy routine.
Okay.
And, like, for real, like, couldn't have been, like a pimple-faced, like, 24-year-old. Like,
how old do they think you were?
I don't know. I thought I said I was 40. Maybe either my description's really bad or Miss Epps was, like, clowning on me or something. I don't know. Probably both. A little bit of both.
Oh, I found the tweet. Here it is. So, you guys took a picture together, the three of you. And she, Elizabeth posted, 3@Leslie Mack fans walk into a comedy club, ... And then Dr. Sixfinger said, # I'ma get you the follow.
Oh, yeah. That's what I told him. I said that.
And so Elizabeth said that, that was the best line of the night. Leslie. Leslie, folks out here in Denver bartering for an LMAC follow. And then followed him. So
all right, good. So it's already been done.
It has been done.
All right. Good on you. Thank you for that. So one of the other people that Elizabeth thought I was a fucking, like, another dude that came up and did a comedy set. And it was really quite funny. But, like, his name was, like, Hippie Man. And, like, he looked like, I don't fucking know, dude. Like, seriously, like
you in college?
No, but like gray hair, like down to his shoulders, going like all
really
over there,
like a
caveman hippie man, like just like honestly, I'm like, that's who you thought I was, jeez, Louise. Like no disrespect to hippie man.
There's still time, Drew.
There's still time. So it was a fun evening, but it was just like, fuck me, you guys all think I'm. This is who you think I am?
Well, you don't put a lot of pictures of yourself out there. You're very, like, stingy with the personal pics.
I post selfies,
so.
I mean, I have
even
them up
your,
there.
But your Avi isn't even you. So people, like, have, for long stretches of time, not even seen you.
I'll put one up now.
You,
not, like, this moment.
Do whatever
moment,
you want to do. I'm just telling you why people would not know what the fuck you look like. So what was funny to me about your leaving is, like, I got back and I was like, hey, oh my God, all this crazy fucking shit happened. And I was like, you heard about blah, blah, blah. And you're like, no, I don't know. You're not that. Literally. I was like, oh, you heard MPH. You know what happened? What are you talking about?
So it for me, cause it wasn't.
Or MHP, sorry.
Cause you didn't realize I was taking a vacation. Like, I took the days off work.
No, I knew you were taking a vacation, but I assumed part of your vacation, like, relaxing would be like, you'd be on Twitter cause you could, and you could be chilling and looking at, I don't know. I assumed you'd be doing all those things.
No, and I did on occasion, but it actually ended up being almost insular because nobody else was on their phones.
Oh, like, gotcha. Nobody's
they don't
do that.
They don't do social media at all. Right. Like, it was just sort of like, you know.
Yeah, like you and
phone,
I could do
I
that, like, just chill out for a little while.
Yeah.
That, but I gotcha.
So I was just like, nah, fuck it. I won't log in. I won't tweet nothing. I won't do anything. So I did miss an awful lot.
Yeah, so.
Including the NFL Combine dick flop.
Yeah, so I hope everybody has already seen this and been graced with the best NFL combine run in history. So what's the dude's name? Do we know his name?
I don't know, but he did the 40 in 8 inches. his 40 time was
stop
9.5.
Stop it. Just stop. Yeah. So like we said, this NFL combine player, nobody even has his name up. He was good enough to go to the combine. They should have his name. Oh, it just says defensive lineman. Oh, no.
Really? What was the search term you used? Like dick flap?
I did, yes.
He's known internetly as dick flap, but not actual name.
Okay, his name is Chris Jones. He came out during the 40-yard dash. He's a Mississippi State defensive lineman. He accidentally exposed his penis while he was making his attempt at the 40. This will likely go down as one of the more infamous runs at the 40-yard dash. It's not too often we get to see a penis flop out during the 40. So, yeah.
You'd think he'd be more like wearing a jockstrap or like some like compression shorts.
I think he had compression shorts. The dick just was like, fuck these compression shorts. And just
popped out. Did it go over the band? I didn't get the close up.
I don't know. It came out like through the leg. It was... so absurd.
You might have finished in 10.5 inches.
And then he had to jump on it and it still flopped up like as he was jumping. It was like, fuck you. It had a life of its own. I'm finishing this 40-yard dash, motherfucker.
Speaking of life of its own and internet and infamy, I was sort of disheartened to see Aaron Andrews still dealing with this nude stalker stuff.
Yeah.
And I really, now that
she settled like $55 million today.
She did with Marriott.
$55 million.
They fucking ain't.
They didn't settle. That's what she was awarded. Sorry, I should say more specifically.
Yeah. Good for her. So the thing that kind of like, now that the case is out there and people are, you know, you can hear the, like, Freedom of Information Act, like, they're getting the notes and shit, like, how this guy did and what he did. It was so fucking, like, there's, like, malicious, and then there's, like, stalker, and then there's fucking revenge porn. This is, like, unbelievable. He fucking found where she was staying, called from a lobby phone and said, connect me to Aaron Andrews so that he would be able to see the room number, okay?
Oh.
Then went up to the room where she was staying, saw the room next to her was being cleaned, went down and said, can I have that room number? And they gave it to him. Then when she left, he took a hacksaw, pried her peephole out, cut part of the peephole so that like he could like he disengaged the like reverse peephole so you could look in from the other way.
You could both ways.
Then sat in his room, waited for her to shower, knowing that she'd be naked when she got out of the shower, and then went into the hallway using his phone and fucking recorded her for 4 minutes. And like tried to sell it to TMZ and they refused, so just loaded up to the internet just for like the lulls and shits and giggles. It's now been seen by 17 million people. It's been searched 300 million times.
Oh.
And it's like, it's fucking her like doing her hair naked after having come out of the shower, like, you know, whatever. Like, how is that even like, I don't even want to say like it's not porn. It's not. It's not even porn. Like, you violated somebody and that's like 300 million people are searching that. And just and the thing that not like surprised me, but this unfortunate for her with the internet is like, you can tell a bunch of people, take this content down. Any old fucking idiot that's viewed it and copied it can then upload it again.
Right.
You know, it's like a whack-a-mole game that's endless. It's endless. It's just, it is there forever.
Forever.
There's
you'll
somewhere.
Never scrub it.
You'll never scrub it.
No, you'll never scrub
you'll
it.
You'll never scrub it. And it's fucked up, man.
Ugh, I've never seen it, obviously.
No, neither would I. But like, again, but it's like, you know, this person really fucking went out of their way to like revenge porn. I don't know what the solution is. Once it goes, like once it gets onto the internet, it's like, it's just there. It's done.
Mm.
And that's a very unfortunate for her. And in her testimony, she's like, you know, you never know how long 4 minutes and whatever is until you're staring at yourself naked for that period of time on the internet. And it's like, fucking A, dude, 4 minutes of her just fucking being like naked. She had to see it and had to fucking, the whole thing's just gross. But so that, unfortunately, Chris, what was his name? Jones?
Chris Jones. Yep.
Yeah. His dick flop is going to be,
dick flopping.
It's going to be on Bleacher Report. Forever.
Mm-hmm. Forever. So the other thing I mentioned was that Nerdland is no longer with us.
Yeah, I'm really kind of bummed about that, MHP.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have, I wouldn't say like a lot of memories, but we would tape the weekends. We didn't watch it all the time, and we'd certainly, if something big or important was happening, we'd watch it. But I remember a lot of times we would put it on the background and just be in the house and letting it play. And
it was kind of like a Sunday thing we would do. Sundays, yeah. We'd like fast forward through different segments and watch both Saturday and Sunday's thing. Like, we'd get back from church before we moved here anyways, and we would watch it when we got back from church. It would just be like an after church thing. And I guess I just like, I know that what it did for me was it brought a approach to a lot of the work that I do and the issues that I care about into larger conversation space. And it was really instrumental. I mean, that hashtag alone was huge. There was a syllabus every week, and it was really talking about issues that nobody else was talking about with the kind of nuanced approach that the show had, and not just Melissa, but also all of the producers of the show as well. So, and obviously all the amazing guests and all of the wonderful activists and organizers that were shown to the, you know, the larger populace in that space, which was really huge as well to legitimize the work that people do. So it's sad that it's gone. And I think we've seen a lot of scary things happening in media. You know, it would be dumb to think that there wouldn't be a backlash in that arena as there has been in every other arena of our society in the face of the movement for Black Lives. So that's what I would say about that. I'm going to link a really amazing piece by Chernobika, who just talked about her own experiences in during this process and interacting with NBC, MSNBC. So
and she gave back her
I guess they gave
an award.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, it was like top something something, and she gave it back. She
And I don't remember the article. Maybe we can find it and link to it. But in the various things I read about Nerdland ending and MHP, and you know, there's some back and forth with MSNBC, like I want to say like playing kind of like the PR game,
yeah,
to some degree.
Sure.
You know,
definitely,
like,
definitely.
But so there's two kind of takeaways I thought that were of note as a data point, if you will. So they, in their commentary, MSNBC has repeatedly talked about, you know, oh, we want to focus on, you know, politics, and we're going to focus on this. And that's like, well, why get rid of the, like, you know, PhD political science individual?
Right.
But nevertheless, all this is to focus on politics. Their Super Tuesday coverage was down 40% year over year. So it's like, I'm not saying that it's because they got rid of MHP.
It's like I say all the time that, like, not even green Trump's racism, like not even money Trump's racism, because we see time and time again institutions, individuals, governmental agencies, and business people deciding to do the exact opposite of what would be best for their business in a straight dollars and cents.
Yeah, well, they may be paying the price with that. Down 40% of, you know, that's going to hit him in the dollars. That's going to hit him in the wallet. And then the other comment was in a, I forget who wrote it, but there's an article, a couple different pieces I read, think pieces, but it referenced a time that Melissa was in the building with, I think it might have been Joy Reid. I can't remember. It was Melissa and another black individual were in the building, and in the studio, not just in the building, and they're like through makeup and they're fucking like mic'd up and they're ready to go, right? They've got the fucking, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah,
the
they're sitting,
got the,
they're ready.
They've got the set. They got the whole fucking deal, right?
They're so mic'd up.
Yeah, they're ready to go. They're ready to go. And on camera, i.e. on stage, just like around the corner from them, or maybe like downstairs from them, are three white people, okay? Three white people talking about the black vote. Like, literally talking about the black vote. And for Melissa Harperry, like, you know, fans, aficionados, no, she's not written one, but two fucking books about fucking blacks and voting. So, like, you have in the building a black person who's, like, you know, a scholar and an expert on, quote unquote, the black vote.
Yeah.
And instead you've got three white people on camera talking about the black vote.
Yeah.
And I forget who, but, like, one of, like, the producers, like, you know, Melissa's ready to go. Like, calls down to the set, like,
she's,
hey, we got Melissa.
She's,
you know,
black.
She's ready to go.
She's an expert in politics.
And nothing ever happened.
And the black vote specifically.
You know?
You're talking about the thing you hired her for. So why the fuck isn't she on the screen right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you're racist assholes. Anyways, because you don't give a shit.
They don't. I honestly, I've been feeling MSNBC's been, you know, just downhill in a significant way. Like, I still kind of dig Rachel Maddow. They've got some things that are like, okay. But they've been, I wouldn't say problematic, but it's like they do shit. It's like, wait a minute. You did that? Like, that seems like kind of a CNN job. Like, you published what? That almost seems like a Fox News kind of headline.
Right,
and they're just,
right.
It's like everyone's moving, I don't know, in a shitty direction. MSNBC, no different.
Mm.
But I guess speaking of Melissa Harris-Perry, somewhat segue, I wanted to so this is something I saw. So if people don't know, on Twitter, I do a lot of lurking. I read infinitely more than I retweet and tweet. So a lot of you might think, like, oh, you know, very white guy, or Drew never tweets my stuff. I may not, but I certainly read quite a bit. And there was a thread a couple of different individuals were having, and it was a dialogue I've seen before, and it's one I simply refuse to engage in. I'm not a part of that dialogue. I'm not. I think my standing line is I don't engage in intra-community dialogue with communities in which I'm not a member, right? So I'll talk about anything dealing with like whiteness and white people and men and all these communities I belong to, but like not like, you know, blackness and black women and so forth and so on. So, but it was specifically black women having a dialogue about dating interracially and whether that negated or made less that individual's ability to be pro-black. And there were some folks on the one side that were very adamant that dating interracially eliminates the ability. You can't at the same time be an interracial relationship and be quote-unquote pro-black. And I hadn't I'm not in those sort of circles, so I was asking your opinion. And when I asked you about it, you said, oh, yeah, I get that on the reg. Like,
all the daily. Time.
And I'm going to say it surprised me. And you and I had talked before, but maybe not on the podcast. I haven't maybe talked this specifically about our relationship, me, in some ways and in some circles being a hindrance to some of the work that you're doing. And would you say that it is or has been?
No, because it hasn't been a hindrance to me. And anybody that would be a concern about, like, I wouldn't want to work with them anyways. So, because not everyone's, you know, worthy of working with me, quite frankly. Like, you know, I have enough respect for myself to know when it's a respectful situation for me. And so anything even on that, like, spectrum would not be respectful to me, so I wouldn't even be engaging with folks like that. But I do get it. I get it online a lot, or, you know, people will mention it.
I thought there was even maybe a group or two that kind of you had to leave because that
was an
issue.
Yeah. I mean, that happens. It does happen. And I know, you know, it's funny. I know so many black women that are in the movement and, you know, doing amazing things that are with men that are not black, and it's, you know, it is what it is. I say all the time, you know, we've been together, you know, 18 years going to be this year, and I, you know, that's more important than, you know, anything really for me, is that this relationship is important to me, and it makes me happy, and it makes me who I am. So that's the most important thing. It's part of my self-care. I actually tweeted about this like a couple weeks ago, February 20th. I had a string about it. I said, it's always interesting watching folks question my commitment to black liberation because I'm married to a white man. I get it, but it also makes zero sense. It's not like his whiteness extends to me. I'm still black and treated as such, but I suppose some folks think I'm, quote, sleeping with the devil, end quote. I can say this. My relationship with my husband has helped me really challenge white supremacy in my life and in his. It's not for everyone, but loving this particular white man has allowed me to really talk about deep issues of race with a white person, important combos for him and me. Being able to challenge a person I love has given me tools to challenge those who oppose me, to express pain without showing weakness.
Oh, wow. You know, sometimes Twitter, like, I feel like their algorithm, like, I should see everything. Like, I wish that new top, whatever they had, if there was a means to customize your feed so that you could put, like, 5 or 7 people and
like the top 5,
yeah,
or whatever.
I don't miss these people's tweets ever. Like, right. It literally, unless I see it, it won't allow me to keep scrolling to the next one in sequence or time or something. That'd be kind of nice. Mm. But anyway, that was lovely. Thank you.
So that's my thoughts on that subject.
Mm.
It was just a few weeks ago, February 20th, not even 2 weeks ago. I just had tweeted about it. So it's funny. So as I mentioned, Mom was here.
Which was fucking awesome. I
she
love
her
to death.
She was so amazing.
It was so much fun.
We didn't even like do hardly anything. We just chilled out and hung out and ate. And
I told you that I tweeted about her taking my side like obsessively.
Listen. Listen. It got to the point where I just started being like, you know what? Screw you guys. Like, it's enough already.
It's honestly pathological.
And then she revoked it from you.
She did. For about a half a day.
She was like, you know what, Drew? I'm taking it back.
You're off.
I'm going to take Leslie's side now.
You're out the circle.
Which was great for me because now she can never never say that I'm making it up. Because she already, if it's something she revokes, then she admits it exists. So now I have ammunition forever.
She doesn't even know. She doesn't even know.
Right into my hands. But
I tweeted about it, and like four or five different people were like, oh my God, my mother-in-law does that all the time. Or my mom does it with my husband.
Ridiculous. It's so absurd.
What's that about?
Sometimes she'll say, I'm like, why are you even in the conversation? Like, we're literally deciding like what food to do something with. And she's like, do what Drew says. What the fuck?
We could be honestly like, jawing back and forth in Klingon, and she'd come in and be like, listen to Drew. Do what Drew says. Listen to Drew.
It's ridiculous.
I take Drew's side.
It's totally absurd. So with my mom and her visits come, I would say 1,000% increase in the number of judge shows that get watched.
She likes a judge show.
She loves a judge show. It's like her favorite
Mavis,
show.
Judge Brown.
Mavis, People's Brown, Court. Mathis, Maybelline. All Supreme Justice with care. All of us. She wants them all.
They're all on one channel, too. So you can, like...
Yeah, you just take them.
I swear, they do that thing that MTV used to do back in the day.
It goes over to the next
one. Yeah, like, where the one show ends at, like, 102. So you're like,
wait, what's going on?
I might as well just watch the next one.
Just watch the People's Court. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, so one of them had... there's always, like... ridiculous things, right? There's like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, like, right. Hilarious. But this one might be the most ridiculous. A woman sued a doctor.
A GYN.
Plastic surgeon. Because she had purchased a...
I thought he was a GYN because he said he delivered all these babies and stuff.
He is. He's a doctor, but it was a plastic surgery place now. But Orgasmia is the first vaginal implant vibrator. And you go in and it's like an IUD. They kind of put it in and it's Bluetooth and, it vibrates from the inside out and, apparently is, you know, produces some tremendous, orgasms during and other times, or intercourse or so on. But so this woman on the lawsuit, said she turned it on, couldn't turn it off. And she said that it was vibrating for like hours and hours and hours.
She had to go to the emergency room. She said it was
doubled over.
She's like, I tried to just take it. And then after 2 hours in pain, she was like, I had to go. I was throwing up. She said she was vomiting. It was bad. I was like, wow. The funniest thing was the judge like questioning her. She was like,
oh yeah.
She was like,
well, first of all, it's $8,000.
Right.
And she couldn't, $8,000.
She was like,
you spent $8,000.
So the first thing she said was, she was like, so you were having sex with your husband and you wanted, but you needed more than that. She was like,
he wasn't enough.
He wasn't enough. Huh? She was like, yeah, he wasn't enough.
She's like, well, I'm a military wife. He's gone a lot. Oh, I see. So you wanted to be having fun all the time. You couldn't just buy a regular vibrator?
You needed more than that,
huh? You needed an implant.
It was so funny. So funny. But then the one that was disturbing was the judge. Was it Judge Judy? I think it was Judge Judy. Where the trip to Paris one.
Oh, that was
with that girl.
Weird.
It was so fucked up. And me and my mom and Drew were like, that is the worst decision. It's so terrible.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. There was a man and a woman were dating. And I'm just going to be like on the real and be kind of like, declarative and objective. He was like a solid like 5 or 6. She was like a 9, right? In terms of like appearance and
together. I thought he was pretty good looking. He just looked like hipstery.
Nah, she looked a lot better than he did. Anyway,
well, if you say so.
They've been dating for 6 months and I don't know if she's a virgin, but she's not having sex with him. Okay. And
she says she's not having sex until she gets married.
Right. So he puts on some big ass trip. Takes her to France, goes to Paris, romance capital of the world. He's got, I'm sure, all kinds of sexy things planned and romantic dinners and champagne and all kinds of this and that. And he says he'd made it clear that he wanted to have sex before marriage. And she says she'd made it clear that she wasn't. But he thought, like a lot of stupid men, that taking her to Paris would drop the panties. And it didn't happen. And in his, childlike rant about not getting laid in Paris, he took her ticket and left her there.
And left her there.
Abandoned her in a hotel, stopped paying for the hotel, and just
rolled.
He's like, deuces, I'm out.
Bye.
You're not going to put out, make your way home.
Make your way home.
So the judge was like, well, you invited her on a trip. Isn't that a round trip? He goes, well, I never said that. And isn't that implied?
But you think she understood? You're like, let's go to Paris. They're like, oh, well, just the one way then, huh?
I'm going to leave you there. So she was kind of hard on the guy about leaving her there. But then in her ruling was like,
She basically, she was asking for money from him, and he was
for the change of
for
answer.
The change.
She
of
wants
fee.
He was suing her for like $2,000 for the whole vacation.
Right.
Ridiculous. She was countersuing like
it was the other way around. He was countersuing.
Okay, so but she was suing for like literally like $385 to change her airline.
Right.
To change the, you know, because she fucking missed her flight or whatever. It's a, you know, airline change flight
change
date.
Fee. Right.
So the judge was like, I award you nothing. You lose $2,000 because you're stupid and you shouldn't have expected her to put out. That was dumb of you. You're out because you know you're an idiot or something. And then he said to her, "Well, you know, you have to pay your own $400 and something. I'm not judging for you because you didn't put out.
Not that in that many ways, but she basically equated. She was like, "Well, you both didn't get what you wanted, so
it's
a wash.
It's a wash. You both didn't get what you wanted." What? Like what? Damn.
So he didn't. That's what she said. Neither of you lived up to your end of the bargain or something like that. And it was like there was no bargain. And even if there was a bargain, she's still not required to do that. That's called prostitution. And you should know that even though I don't agree with it, it is currently illegal. And what the fuck? It was so. Me and my mom were like, wait a minute. This is crazy.
It was really bizarre. Like the dad just. Like honestly, they're like. And you see the worst of people in those moments. Like they're trying to like paint themselves into the corner and like defend their like. Like they've
fucked up.
Listen, like
shit.
We've talked about my theory about like, you know, you say some dumb shit and then you like paint yourself into a corner by like double down and repeating dumb shit. And then it's like you get to a point where like you have no other option but to like continue to defend this like wholly illogical position and you're on an island of bullshit that you can't do anything with. If you get to the people's court, that's you. Like you've painted and painted and painted and painted and painted.
Yeah.
You're now on the people's fucking court. Yeah. And you hear it from them like, well, you didn't think you were going to. A round trip was expected. I didn't say it. I didn't explicitly say it was a round trip. Really?
Like, and that's
really?
The shit
that's
been
your
saying to her since forever. I never said I was going to take that
I didn't
bitch
say
back.
I was going to take you home. I just said we were going to get to Paris. Getting home's on you. That's just too much.
Now me.
Should we jump into some...
Let's do it.
The news is coming on. The news is coming on.
So, I don't know if you heard.
You know, I'm reading the notes, and I haven't heard, and I'm going to let you just handle this one.
Yeah. So this happened in Texas. I think there's a video, so let's see if we can play that. Hopefully there's not a fucking ad. Maybe. There isn't an ad.
Three,
two ad.
One.
It's an ad. Anyways, I'll turn it down. Okay. Anyways, in Texas, there was an attack at a campaign office of a black candidate for sheriff. And the perpetrator who shot up this place happened to scream fuck the N-words while shooting at the campaign office.
In broad daylight.
Broad daylight.
Yay, Texas.
Yeah.
And at a campaign office for a candidate for sheriff?
Here we go. I don't know what happened to the sound.
It was playing fine for me.
When we heard shots fired and the glass, the shattering of the glass, and, you know, people, it scared people and people scrambling, you know, for safety. I don't know whether, you know, the individual that did that was trying to, you know, divide the community or stop the election or stop, you know, me from running for sheriff. None of that's going to happen. I'm still a part of this community. I love this community. You know, it's just senseless ignorance.
So that was Zena Stevens, a black woman who's running to become
wow.
the top cop in Jefferson County, Texas. She said none of the 20 people present were hurt despite the shattered glass at the campaign office. And a spokesman for the Beaumont Police Department told the Daily News that a Metro PCS store down the street from her campaign office had also been shot and that the attacker was described as a white male hanging out of the passenger side of a white Jeep. So now there's two people. It's not one.
Yeah,
like this
two.
Headline.
Man
literally,
shoots.
Man allegedly screams.
How
listen,
about caravan?
How about two people?
Drive-by.
What the fuck? I didn't even know that.
They downplaying shit.
Oh, my God. That's so, like, this verbiage is so, like, deliberate to downplay this. Well, he shot up a PCS up the street, too.
Yeah, it wasn't just the campaign. You know, and it's not a, I don't think it's a coincidence that the all them fucking like Oath Keepers and these really fucking like crazy ass right wing.
They only arrested one guy.
Listen though, these folks that were in Oregon, the Bundy, stand up folks. They in their like manifesto and all the fucking things that they believe in.
Yeah.
The highest office that they will respect is the sheriff. And interestingly enough, the black sheriff gets shot at. You know what I'm saying? Like if that's the highest office they respect, it's not a surprise that they're individuals willing to. I don't know, intimidate and thwart black individuals from holding that position.
Ridiculous.
And it sounded like it was a black woman, too.
It was a black woman.
That's fucking nutty, man.
Yeah.
So I was in Colorado, and I asked fucking people, like, you know, what should I do? And, like, everyone's like, smoke weed! I was like, smoke weed? Okay, that's the obvious. I get it. Thank you for that. Like, what else can you do in Colorado? But so there is coming up here in Michigan, a ballot initiative for 2016 on November 8th to legalize marijuana.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, you know, and I do. I blew it. I even had my...
Put the game clock at 420.
Smoke weed every day.
Weed
my,
news.
My weed news. Weed this news. Weed news. I forgot we had separate weed news audio pieces.
Special weed news.
So it's a lot like the Colorado measure. It would legalize, regulate, and tax recreational marijuana. Adults 20 and over would be permitted to possess and use marijuana and to cultivate plants in the dwelling. And this would also allow for the taxation of revenue from commercial marijuana operations. So that's kind of interesting. I know that the state could use the revenue. You know, for folks in Colorado, it's been a boon to the
economy
in a lot of ways. But I was
that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's
rich people getting richer.
Well, and in Colorado, they just now in Denver, the county of Denver, put a moratorium on the number of licenses. You can no longer open up a weed store in the county of Denver.
Yeah, they reached their limit. Like, here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a law written that anyone who gets out of jail and was only in jail for possession of weed automatically gets the license. No fees, no nothing. Where's that fucking law? I'm down with that one. That one, I'm like, okay, let's discuss this because we need to have some reparations built into these bills. It can't just be about the future shit because we have people languishing, families and generations completely decimated.
They should all have grandfather clauses for individuals serving time for weed offenses. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And I think,
but the weed legalization industry is they ain't shit. They're a bunch of racists themselves. So there's that.
But normal,
all of them, all of the large mechanisms that are trying to, it's like supremely based in whiteness, white centered, with no thought about the damage that's already been done and the continued damage that will occur after they do these things to black and brown communities. And it's gross, quite frankly.
I still think it would be good for the state of Michigan.
I mean, it's going to be good for lots of reasons. That doesn't mean that it's the only thing that can be good for a place or that there aren't clear ways in which it's going to be better for others than for some than others.
Yeah, and I haven't seen a single ballot initiative that's included any sort of retroactive grandfathering.
No, because
they're not
they have no integrity. These people, if they had integrity and they really believed that this was wrong and this law is wrong and it's unjust, if that's really why they were doing it, that would be included. That's what I mean by they don't have any integrity whatsoever. The entire whole wing of legalization, whatever. I don't fucks with them. But I do think pot should be legal. So that's my story about that.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What about J.J. Abrams diversifying
Hollywood? Oh, yeah. So, you know, one of the things out of this whole Oscar so white thing, which we're going to talk about in a little bit when we go through this week in hashtags. But, you know, I've seen already, we were watching that show Billions, right? And you said, man, there's like two like super strong black female characters on both sides of the equation on that show because it's two different people going up against each other.
There's more than that. There's like
there's a lot of black people and of other races as well. But I'm just talking about black people right now, not Jamil. And you said, like, what? That's amazing. And I'm like, yeah, because one, diversity sells. People like things that are diverse. Like, let's just admit that that's really true. We've seen it time and time again with movies, with music, with everything. And then the second thing is that why wouldn't those people be right. black? That's the whole point of the whole hashtag #OscarSoWhite is that you don't, Hollywood doesn't have to be white. Any character that's being played that's just, when I say nondescript, that their race is not integral to the part and role that this character is. It's not like, you know, the crux of their piece is not right. about their race. It can be any race then. And the fact that it skews so white is what people are really discussing, and also telling different stories. So anyways, so one of the things that we've started seeing is a lot of people reacting to this, like casting on Billions. And as I've also heard, huge amounts of really well done black female characters, in particular on the new season of House of Cards that was just released. We don't watch that show, but I've read that. I know Pia Glenn's in it, which is fucking awesome. Makes me want to watch it, but we don't like that show. Anyways. So J.J. Abrams has a plan to put Hollywood on the path to diversity.
How so?
Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks after the conversation around Oscar So White, shout out to Reign of April, producer-director J.J. Abrams told The Hollywood Reporter that he'd like to see things change in the hiring process. And he said, "We're working to find a rich pool of representative kick-ass talent and give them the opportunity they deserve and we can all benefit from. It's good for audiences and it's good for the bottom line." Yeah, Abrams yeah. has seen firsthand how well movies led by women and people of color can do at the box office. He directed a little movie. You might have heard of it. Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And, you know,
it's a war on white people. Mm-hmm. It's a war on white genocide. Thing. Oh, my God. I boycott Star Wars because of white genocide.
So it's really cool. And I think it's really great. He's like, they've been working to improve our internal hiring practices for a while, but the Oscars controversy was a wake up call to examine our role in expanding opportunities internally at Bad Robot and externally with our content and partners. Reign of April is changing the fucking, like, entertainment landscape. I don't even like, seriously, I could cry right now just thinking about the impact in the world that she has made. When we talk about, you know, what representation means, and, you know, we were at my best friend's house a couple nights ago and we were talking about representation, and she hadn't gotten it before we had this conversation. I was like, you know, representation is not just a numbers game. And when you're white, you think that it is because you're used to being around tons of white people.
Right.
So it makes sense that it's just like, oh yeah, white people. So they want to have their people.
Well, that leads to the, like, oh, I'm going to handle the concerns of black people by just plugging a random black person correct. In here correct. And solve everything.
And that's it. It's done. So anyways, I'm just like over the moon about all of the stuff that Reign of April has done to continue this conversation. Over a year, it's been going on and continues, and it's just making real differences in entertainment, and she's amazing. So,
you know, and we talked about that high school in Illinois, Peking, Illinois, that changed yep. their offensive yep. name. It was one guy, one person that just said, hey, you know what? I'm now in charge. I'm going to make this decision. And JJ's doing the same thing. And so did Ava DuVernay. You know what? Yep. You don't think there's enough people to do this? Their inclusive crew
mm-hmm.
was like, you know, like, there wasn't a non-person of color on there from
there were white women, because women would be okay. included in this.
But nevertheless, there was all the people saying, oh, we can't find any this.
I don't
we
think
can't
there were any white men, though.
You know, there was plenty of folks for her to find to have
lots
an entirely
of men
inclusive crew.
And lots of people of
color. And good for lots JJ. And terrific that, like you said, Reign April has started some of that conversation.
Yeah, she's amazing and just so accessible, too. So I wanted to play this other thing that happened. And Mayor Demeza Delhomme denies knowing resident's wife amid public accusations. A man confronted his mayor for sleeping with his wife at the town hall meeting.
You're telling me, like, one of these, like, open, like, yes. open to the public,
like
let's
what?
Take, yes. our friend does.
Yes.
Like, let's take questions from the crowd. And dude's like, you're banging my wife.
Well, why don't we let him speak for himself since we have some video here.
When a Spring Valley, New York man discovered the mayor allegedly slept with his wife, he decided to confront confront the politician during a town meeting. In front of dozens of community residents, Reginald Alfred, 48, a maintenance worker, accused Mayor Damisa DeLome of using his political clout to destroy his marriage. "Mr. DeLome is trying to use his power to get into my house," Alfred said. "He destroyed my house. He destroyed my family. I have two daughters." Mayor DeLome quickly denied the accusations, telling the room full of people that he didn't know Alfred's wife.
Oh my God, it's so
packed. "I don't know this man," he yelled. "I've never met this man."
Oh my God, okay, so I think this is him, actually.
Yeah, let's hear his own words.
"If somebody bothered the woman, you come to me. This is my job to refer the person, the woman, to the police. I can't say go home. If the woman goes to the police, you are arrested. It has nothing to do with me. As the mayor, if you drive taxi, you see something, you need to call the police. Tell the police there's too many taxis. Mayor cannot stop people. I don't even know who drives taxis. Okay? Thank you. Anyone else?"
"My name is Reginald
Alfred." "Speak up.
My name is Reginald Alfred. I'm living in 20 Stone Lane on Monse. I'm here from like a family and foreign with this day, Mr. Dillo. He's trying to use the power to just get to my house. He just make my wife call the cops for me. Give me all the protection."
Pause it. Did he just say asshole without protection? What did he say?
I don't know what he said.
He said something about tried to make with my wife in the asshole without protection.
Yeah,
literally. Oh my God.
"Use the power from the village to use it. People just come to people's house, destroy my house, and destroy my family. And I have two daughters. It means I make my wife call the cops on me, give me all the protection.
Somebody just said shit.
Any place I go, like, Mayor Demeza, tell me, I'm going to make your life miserable and stuff like that. But I'm not scared for the Demeza because I have law. He just trying to do so many things. He just get inside my house. I have two daughters and I'm scared for the Demeza. I don't want him to touch my daughter. And the Demeza tried to do so many things. Any place I go, he just called my wife to call police on me.
What?
Damn.
4 years with my wife. 12 years married. The demons I didn't get inside my house. Like I said, anything is happening to me, demons are responsible for everything. And that's them. I don't think people vote for nobody, like even trust whatever, to destroy the family. They vote for people. People vote for you to help them, like to get inside, to destroy the family.
Oh my God.
And I'll tell you that one more time. I'm not scared for Demeza, but I'm scared for my daughters. I know Demeza don't have no heart. He can touch my daughter, but it's not going to be good. And I know Demeza use the power to do everything. Even I'm living from Monse. Any place Demeza saw me, he just called my wife to call the police.
Wow.
Sometimes Demeza is a liar. The place my wife saw me, when she go to the police station, she gave her the address. She never see the way she find it. But only one thing I say, Demeza Delon, anything happened to my daughter, it's not gonna be easy. I know they have a law here. Like you say, what? You are king.
He's threatening him.
You have to stay away from my family.
Fuck his wife in the ass.
Oh my God.
You take my wife. Anytime my wife goes to he goes straight to your house. My daughter don't have no surveillance now.
See, but this is the kind of guy that would, like, hurt his wife.
I know you don't.
And his daughters.
You have incapacity for that job. But at least.
He looks unstable.
Who will vote for you. That's right. And don't forget that.
Don't forget.
Happened to me. That's what's happening.
Sir.
They're clapping. Oh, my God.
I'm living on channel.
And
you
said the maid came into your house?
Yes.
Now, for the record, the police department.
What was the
reason? Is there a police here? I don't know who that person is. I don't know the man. I don't know this man.
Yo, this is a shit show.
I never met that person.
That's you swing his wife and you say,
oh my God. Oh! Yo! That's one of the other councilmen. Oh my God!
It's not about you.
The councilman's standing up now. Oh my God!
He's a public official. He has the right to come here and to express himself.
He does have a right to. Where was this at? What?
I'm trying to figure out where it was. Oh my, Spring Valley, New York. Lord.
Good Lord.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot. There's six more minutes of that.
That FYI. Is some messy stuff, man.
Yeah.
That made me think of, I don't want to talk about the one individual, but I had a friend that had some in flagrante, right? So there's like, thought something was going on, didn't know something was going on, confronted the people, like, hey, is something going on? Like, no, nothing's going on. And then like, basically like threatened the person, like, if something's fucking going on, I'm gonna fucking destroy you. Like, really was like, I'm telling you, you know, you're lying to me, I'm gonna fuck you up. So many, you know, many moons later, something was going on, and finds out about it and tells me, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna tell the other person's wife, I'm gonna fucking, you know, go to the other person's job, I'm gonna fucking blow their fucking shit up. And I just was like, but why? You know, like, is that gonna make you feel better? Like,
right.
Like, well, because I said I was going to, and I'm going to. And
oh, like did. The word it was about.
You know, just, and then did it. I was like,
I mean, I will say, like, there is an extra, like, fuck you when it's like, I looked you dead in your eyes. I asked you to tell me the truth.
That was this person's comment.
Lied to me.
That was
anyway.
That person's comment.
And I told you the goddamn consequences.
That was the comment.
So don't blame me when this happens. Blame your motherfucking self.
Yeah.
I get that. It's still petty.
But I get that too.
But I get that too. I get it. I do.
I just say, generally speaking, ladies, be careful, man. Men will get you. Just be careful. That's all. Yeah. Domestic abuse, partner abuse, whatever's going on with this Spring Valley mayor in New York. Like, I mean, to laugh at it because it's kind of like, it's wild, but like.
Right. I mean, I want to talk about my sister, but I have to get her permission first, so I won't talk about it right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Did you hear that Argentina new president is finally paying the vultures?
Oh, we've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah. So, and I don't say like I'm surprised. Like, I mean, I guess you kind of have to do what you got to do. But Argentina, way back when, 2000, I think it was like one, maybe 2001, defaulted on their sovereign debt. So like surety bonds, like U.S. bonds and whatnot. So they did the same thing that Greece almost did, and I think Iceland maybe did do, where basically the whole country went bankrupt. Like Detroit did this here, and other cities have gone bankrupt, but so Argentina goes bankrupt. And in a period of about 14 months, because Argentina's kind of fucked up government-wise, they couldn't decide what to do. They were like, oh, we got bankrupt. What are we going to do? And so while they're deciding what to do, all the debt, all these bonds got basically reduced to junk status.
Yeah.
People are like, whoa, wait a minute.
You know, Argentina.
This was worth a dollar, and now it's bankrupt. Cents. Now we don't know what it's worth. You know, they're fumbling around. So people started trading them on junk bond markets. There's like places that sell penny stocks and junk bonds and so forth and so on. So the country of Argentina ultimately, after I think 14 months of deliberation, decided, okay, we are going to go bankrupt. We're going to officially declare, like, you know, bloop, we fucked up our debt. And the settlement they gave, and they didn't give people that. So their in the United States, we have the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which guarantees money in a bank up to a certain amount, like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
So like if a bank goes fucked up, or, you know, your money's safe here in the United States, because they don't have that in Argentina. So when you put money into banks, banks would, you know, do what banks do with the money, and they would, you know, diversify their holdings in a variety of ways, including government bonds. That's what banks do. They trade in these various things. So all of a sudden, people that had money in the bank, it got like essentially devalued overnight by like 75%. What used to be $4 is now $1. So these bonds went from $1 to 25 cents. But some people had bought them for 12 cents, 18 cents,
right,
15
like
cents.
Really junk
status. Right. And had bought billions of dollars worth of them at 15 cents on the dollar. And these folks are hedge fund managers that Cristina Hirshner, the former president of Argentina, called vulture hedge funds. And they've done a – I can't lie. They've done a bit of a job on Argentina. Argentina tried to get money out of Fort Knox. They tried to remove gold deposits from the United States, Fort Knox. And the individuals, these four hedge fund individuals, managers of hedge funds, but I guess there's their legal team, got a judge to put a sanction on any money Argentina was going to take out of Fort Knox.
Right.
They first had to pay these vulture fund, hedge fund guys 100% on the dollar of their debt, right? So they couldn't get the money out. They've got all kinds of problems. They're locked out of World Monetary Fund. They're locked out of IMF. They're locked out of, like, they can't, like, their ability to, like, exploit their a tremendous amount of natural resources is limited because they don't have the capital to, like, you know, invest in, like, mining. Right. So all this is going on. And now all of a sudden they've finally they got a new president, a little bit more, I guess, right-leaning, that's willing to concede. And they've negotiated 75 cents on the dollar, $4.650 million to four hedge funds. Elliott Management, which is billionaire Paul Singer, and a few others. But they're getting 75% of what they could have got, but nobody else got. And they're getting three times what every other individual in Argentina and national citizens that owned their bonds got.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was just a game of fucking, I don't say like Russian roulette, but it's like, how fucking long are they able to hold out? They need they need to take these deposits out of Fort Knox.
They have to get the money somehow.
They have to get the money somehow.
Like, not an option to not
have. Not an option.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, we'll pay the $4.65 billion to get the $13 other billion we need to fucking do shit.
Mm.
Which is unfortunate that they, you know, fucking ponied up. But it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Argentina.
Argentina indeed.
Que baludo.
Mm-hmm. So, I think we had some hashtags.
Yeah, right? I didn't do the new music. It's
that's
been
okay. Da-na-na. This week in hashtags. So all of these happened while you were gone, and so you didn't really like.
No, you had to catch up on everything.
I was like, you didn't hear about this one, you didn't hear about that one, blah, blah, blah. So the first one I wanted to bring your attention to was, where was BLM? Was the first one.
Okay.
And Rodimus Prime actually was.
Another one?
Another. He didn't. And another
the
one.
The man's gold.
And another one. So this shitty woman, white woman on Twitter named Sista Tolja. Don't look her up. I won't be linking to her.
This should be like a John Block list.
Wrote this fucked up like opinion piece, blog piece about the little boy, 6-year-old King Carter, who was killed. Do you remember this? He was killed, like,
I do.
You know, in like street violence. He was, you know, innocent bystander, but was killed, right? So she wrote this thing about, you know, why Black Lives Matter will never rally behind a murdered black child.
Huh?
Yeah. She was basically like, where was Black Lives Matter didn't show up? Where were the protests? Where were the this? Where was the that? And everybody was like saying to this bitch, like, well, they caught the person who did it. They're currently in jail. They've been indicted and are going to be going on trial. Why? What are you expecting?
Yeah, what's
protests
what's
for
missing?
Exactly. I don't. She clearly doesn't understand anything. So
she just wanted outrage.
She just wanted outrage. Yes.
OK.
So Rod posted the first one he posted was, I think. Her next article going to be like, where was Black Lives Matter when a black person died from choking on a hot dog? Question mark. Right. And then he did the hashtag. Where was Black Lives Matter? So, you know how black Twitters want. They took the hashtag and ran with it. And it was pretty fucking hilarious. So I'll just read a few. Where was BLM? That was what it was. Where was BLM? When Steely was fixing the shave mister. Mm-hmm. Where was BLM when they got rid of the real Aunt Viv?
Yeah. One season? That's all she got? One season?
Where was BLM when David Ruffin was kicked out of the Temptations?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where was BLM when Lois Lane put on Black Body?
You told us about that on the John. I guess I can't believe that Lois Lane put on Black Body.
Where was BLM when we couldn't go to Bella Noche's?
That's the best.
Bella Noche's.
Stop
where
it.
Was BLM when Mufasa got murdered?
Stop it, Lion King.
Mm-hmm. Where was BLM when Steve Harvey was trying to read the winner of Miss Universe?
Where was anybody, man? That's BLM. He was out on a limb, dude.
Where was BLM when Lucius Lyon put his son in the trash?
Yeah. Upside down, no less.
Where was BLM when Ricky got shot? Where was BLM when Sophia needed them? All my life I had to fight. I'll put a link to it. I think I had one that got a pretty good play, which was where was BLM when the Fresh Prince got in one little fight?
One little fight.
Where were they?
Mom and any other folks that referenced to Ricky was about Boys in the Hood.
You mean the white people?
Yes, I said mom. I guess that's just my mom.
So the other thing you missed was Trap Cover.
Okay.
Which was also amazing. And a clap black via Black Twitter, which was basically a response to these like tortured, mealy mouthed ass versions of formation.
You mean like a bunch of white people trying to sing fucking black songs?
Like new ones, like just messy and horrible. Let me see if I can play one.
Everyone at work is freaking out over.
I've got one queued up.
You have one of the bad ones.
Achy Breaky Heart.
No, not that. So this is like a bad cover of Work by this white chick.
This is Work.
Yeah, this is Work, y'all.
Just stop. Don't. Come on, please.
Goodbye. Stop. Good night. And this Stop one, it. Too. Oh, the other one people have been doing is Formation. Shitty covers.
I saw
Formation.
A little blonde kid doing Formation. I was like, what are you doing?
Like, no, dude. Nah.
Why?
Nah, bruh.
Why?
Nah.
And yeah. like little blonde boys literally singing about, like, here's my one. Baby with baby hairs. Like, what?
Mama Louisiana.
Look at my face.
Mixed and Negro.
Negro.
Make it Texas Bama. No, not my baby hair with baby hair in that.
Stop. Put an end to it. Stop it.
Here's
do not do
one.
That. No. No.
Here's another one.
No.
When I rock my G Homesy dress, I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklace.
Thank you. Stop.
Okay. So in reaction to that bullshit that has been just prolific since those songs came out and got, you know, really big. Trap Cover was black folks like, oh, you guys want to do that? Let's do some remixes of your bullshit ass songs. So
I love it.
They came with it. So let's see. This is Bohemian Rhapsody. Let's see. Hopefully it won't be an ad either. We'll see. I don't know. A lot of these are like embedded. But they're really funny. Rod did one. One tweet that I saw that was really funny was, I'm like, you know what Trap Cover taught me? A surprising amount of black people basically have a home studio in their house.
I got mixers and everything.
Like everybody
dude.
We get the mixers, we got microphones, we got it all. I'm ready.
You know, the other, like, that was one of my ready. Like, if I had to, like 13 things very white guys learned about black Twitter.
Yeah, what is
like
it?
Day one was like, they got some Photoshop and fucking bad. I mean, really, like, yeah. Black Twitter's Photoshop skills are not only like fast, they're like unbelievable. Like,
right.
Like you can almost like, there's a clock you could set to Crying Jordan. You really could just be like,
right.
Whatever happened, like 10, 9, 8, Crying Jordan.
Okay, here's Taylor Swift's You Belong With Me, Trap Cover.
On the phone with your boyfriend, he upset. He a mess. You need to get that lame nigga off your chest. Like, he a skater. I'm getting paper. Understand that you belong with me. He. You belong with me. You belong with me. He wish you would see that you belong with me. Cause he wear Skechers and I wear Yeezys. Nigga, he a
so funny. Okay, so I had to play a couple more that were really funny. This is Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles.
Making my way all the way down town. Walking fast races past home now. Jumping blankly ahead. Just making my way through the crowd.
Yes.
And I need you. And I miss you. And now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time will pack it by? Cause I move that way by the 1,000 miles. Cause I move that way by the 1,000 miles.
Oh my god, that was so good. Dude, so good, so good, so good. The Friends theme song.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way.
Stopped. I don't know what happened there. Let's see. This was Rod's Golden Girls theme song. Why does it keep stopping? It's weird. He's on video too.
You.
Hello. What's going on here?
I'll play one since you're having difficulty.
Yeah, it's like not playing them. It's so weird. This is a good one. This is the winner, though. Don't play that one. Don't play that one yet. Please. That's the winner.
Winner, you've already played all you're going to play. You can't even play one.
I know. Okay, I'll play one. This
they
one.
Say we, and we don't know.
I got you, babe.
Until we grow.
Well, I don't know
if all that's true.
Because you got me.
And I got you.
Hey, babe.
Babe.
What? I got you, babe.
I got you, babe.
All of the covers were so much better than the originals. It was hilarious. So, but I found the winner. Literally found the winner. The winner of Trap Cover, and it is Achy Breaky Heart, and it's so good. Here they come.
Break it. You can tell different things to different body parts. But there is just one body part that you cannot tell.
It's so good.
Break certain things to. And that's my heart. My achy, breaky heart. Don't tell my heart. You can tell the world you never was my girl. And you can burn my clothes when I'm gone. Or you can tell your friends just what a fool I've been. And laugh a joke about me on the phone. And you can tell my arms.
She dabbed on that one.
And you can tell my feet that hips to flow. And you can tell my lips to tell my fingertips that baby we shall not for you no more. But don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. I just don't think it'll understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he might blow up and kill this man. Don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. I just don't think he'd understand. But if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he might blow up and kill this man. You can tell your mom I moved to Arkansas. And you can tell your dog to bite my leg. And tell your brother Cliff, whose fist can tell my lip, he really didn't like me anyway. Tell your Aunt Louise, tell anything you please. Myself already knows I'm not okay. And you can tell my eyes to watch out for my mind. I might be walking out on me today. Don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. I just don't think you understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he might blow up and kill this man. Don't Don't tell my heart, break my achy, breaky heart. Don't tell my heart, break my achy, breaky heart. Don't tell my heart, break my achy, breaky heart. Don't tell my heart, break my achy, breaky heart. Break it. Don't tell my heart, break my achy, breaky heart.
Oh, it's so good. It's better than the original, quite frankly. So, yeah.
That's not hard to do.
No.
Achy Breaky Heart.
Trap cover.
Like, Achy Breaky Heart's kind of like I don't want to call it like a... What's the word I'm looking for? Like, is it like a gimmicky song?
It's like a one-hit wonder.
It's something worse than a
novelty song.
It's a novelty song. It's worse than a one-hit wonder.
And now it's a trap song.
It's a fucking novelty song.
Now it's a trap song.
There's a couple of the hashtags. I actually saw one that it was weird how I came about the information on it. So I saw Not Your Mule, and I saw a few different tweets about it. And I sort of like, you know, it's one of those things where like you can know the term sour grapes without having had to have listened to a read Aesop's Fable about the hound and the whatever and the sour grapes.
Right, right, right.
You know the concept of sour grapes. Like, oh, that's sour grapes. You know what I mean? So like, I kind of got like Not Your Mule. Like, it's almost inherent in the hashtag itself, right? So I was kind of like getting it and seeing all the tweets. But I didn't realize that it kind of came from Jose Antonio Vargas. Like he...
Not just Jose Antonio Vargas, just saying. It wasn't just him.
Okay.
Not even close to just him.
Yeah, like I said, I was offline the whole period of time.
Not even close to just him. It was insane. So the night of the Oscars...
You know, and just this is interesting that this, I don't want to say it parallels, but so we were talking before about the individual that was writing in to Rod with the Where is BLM hashtag. It's sort of like, you know, I'm not going to care about, you know, Black Lives Matter has no respect until they care about black on black crime, which is a myth and a trope, right? You know what I'm saying? Like that sort of like weird sort of like narrative. That, I see that same. There's some assumptive there about like, well, you black people should be doing this too. That's very similar to the reason Not Your Mule came up as well.
Correct. Yeah, so it definitely is. I mean, first of all, it's just anti-blackness, generally speaking, of course. But during the Oscars, which I didn't watch either, I've seen Chris's monologue since then. And a couple of the skits as well, which we're not going to talk about. But non-black people of color were really taken aback by the fact that somehow Chris wasn't talking about black people, and they wanted to know why weren't other minorities being mentioned and why Oscar So White is only about black people. So, as you said, Jose Antonio Vargas said, when will Chris Rock bring up Latino, Asian, Middle Eastern, Native American actors and opportunities? Hashtag Oscar So White. And then HP HuffPost Latino Voices, quote, quoted Chris saying, we want black actors to get the same opportunities. But what about the Latinos? We want that too. Mm-hmm. And then people started directing tweets directly at Reign of April.
And that's how I saw some of this, because I literally, her mentions from like Sunday forward,
it was really a shit show, dude. Really, really disgusting. And Mickey Kendall, as she's wont to and so good on social media and in all media, actually, just put a hashtag out. Hashtag Not Your Mule isn't an indictment of non-black people of color who do act in solidarity. It's an indictment of the ones who don't but want the rewards. Well, and she said, you can't keep standing there and saying, why aren't you doing this work for me, but don't want to take any risks. I don't believe solidarity is a one-way street.
And even the nature of supremacy, it should be pretty clear that, like, black folks, and it's like, you know, the world over, even like not just black, but like the darker the blacker you are, the worse you have it, right? Like, that's the hierarchy of supremacy. And to shit on a group of people and just sort of like, you know, like, ah, you know, we're not gonna, you know, fuck your cause, whatever, 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 to the point that they now have to take drastic measures, this marginalized group, black people, mm-hmm. and those drastic measures start resonating and having some impact, and there's things like, you know, changes to the Oscars and whatnot, and now all of a sudden you're gonna fucking, like, you know, now, like, oh, we've been shitting on you forever, but now that you're getting it done, like, take me too. That's kind of fucked up.
And it just was this expectation. I mean, one tweet that I sent to somebody, because somebody had tweeted out, because it was a lot of this, like Ming-Na from
ER fame?
ER and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She put up a fucked up tweet. And so this one guy had written, Asian Americans are also greatly underserved in the industry. Can we start a hashtag on that, please? And I just quote tweeted him. I said, have at it. This platform is open and free as fuck. Not your mule. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Can we start a hashtag on that? What the fuck are you doing?
Go for it, like, bro.
What is stopping you from doing any of those things that you think it's okay for you to just be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna, you know, blah blah blah. It just was like really ugly, and especially the way they came at April, it was just really gross and so clear that, you know, when we talk about anti-blackness being everywhere, it just was so evident and so like gross.
Yeah, you know, and I think even fucking that's probably a, we're talking about April. Let me get my, where's my music? She got receipts. So the receipts this week, many were collected. There was a lot of receipt collected.
So many.
A lot of receipt collected.
Lots to correct.
A lot. But April, Reign of April. I'm gonna have to give her the title of queen of all that. Queen of the
queen of the receipts.
Queen of the receipts. Queen of the clapback. Yes. Here in 2016. But so as we were just talking, folks were coming at her really sideways, really recklessly with this, you know, like.
And like the thing about it too is that, you know, she was really busy. You know, she was running a whole campaign.
People think like it was Oscar fucking night.
And the rest of the shit just happens on its own. She was doing interviews and she was doing lots of things.
It was to continue Oscar to push
this. And as we've said many times, it's not Oscar's not black. It's fucking Oscar's so white. It's specifically addressing general diversity in Hollywood and representation in Hollywood, and you could take that up, and I'll let April speak for herself because she fucking broke that shit all the way down.
Yeah, in fact, I think this needs the righteous indignation of only a black woman can provide.
Oh, I gotta deliver it.
Yeah, I could read it. I could, because she starts out just like, you know, hi. So I have some things on my mind, and I'm trying to decide if I'm going to clap back in extraordinary fashion or just let it go. What you won't do is show up late to the party, demand cake, and then ask why isn't it your favorite flavor.
I'll take over from here.
Not your meal, Oscar, so white.
Yes. For those complaining that I wasn't inclusive, I've searched accounts. You weren't talking about diversity or Oscar so white before Sunday, when I had racist trolls in my mentions, DMs, and emails because I was speaking up for all of us. Where were you?
She searched. She collected the receipts.
When Ming-Na created hashtag Holly White Reporter, I quickly jumped on board. Where was she for Oscar so white? April had that receipt. The actual tweet she sent. Brilliance by Ming-Na. We're not going away. Love, hashtag Holly White Reporter. When Jose is writing, created hashtag journalism so white. Obviously a riff on Oscar so white. Without even asking if it was okay, I rocked with it. Oscar so white is over a year old. In that time, not one journalist, public figure, anyone with a platform asked if we could build together. Even now, after Not Your Mule, thanks Konithia, was revived and your anti-blackness was exposed, you still didn't step up, Oscar so white. And then she said, the only person I've seen working diligently on this is Jayaist, J-A-Y-A-I-S-T, and I quickly supported. She also had that quick receipt. Oscar so white has always been about all marginalized communities, race, sexual orientation, gender, differently abled, and indigenous folks. Again, find any interview in which I said anything but that. Oscar so white is about all marginalized communities. I choose to fight for us. I took a break so I could watch all of the non-black people of color complain on Oscar night. 2 days later, most have moved on. I'm one person, a coalition with others who are frustrated and had significant platforms would have been welcome. Instead, I'm appreciative of the countless voices worldwide who retweeted and fought with me because you were more important. Even Jada Pinkett Smith wasn't speaking publicly about Oscar so white until Will got snubbed. I was, because this is all about Hollywood, right? Attend the Golden Globes, Will's nominated. Oh, and then she said a bunch of stuff. Anyway, so she just pulled out all the receipts. None of these people were talking about Oscar so white. None of them supported the campaign beforehand. And then now that they feel like they should have been included.
It's kind of fucked up.
It's totally fucked up. So I'll just say kudos to you, April and all of your efforts. And I think it's such a great movement, because representation is really important, and anyone who says otherwise is
yeah. Wrong. And you know, she has been interviewed on CNN, a bunch of different places, mm-hmm. And we'll link to it. But there's a great article in HuffPost, Meet Reign of April, Oscar So White hashtag creator, and I did not know. So like, the Oscar So White as a hashtag, as movement, you know, as a concept, gained enough momentum that you didn't remember sort of like the original genesis, like how it, like what
oh,
was
I
the,
remember
what was the very first? No, I remember, but what was the very first tweet? And so in this article, it says Oscar So White, they asked to touch my hair. Again, like classic. That. If you are ever going to start a hashtag, that might be the greatest. Like,
it's so good.
One of the best first tweets.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Hashtag. It's so good.
But that's terrific that she's getting some, I guess, respect and notoriety, and that she fucking, you know, took a break, waited a couple of days, watched, and everybody fucking dropped off and didn't do shit.
Didn't do a fucking thing. So typical.
You know, I'm not saying that it was or wasn't, like, you know, how much malicious intent was here or there. There probably was a bunch of people that were just trying to fucking be like Tyrese, getting likes and clicks and trying to be all new on
no,
fucking...
No, I mean, I saw this coming because I think I even had read it on here. I thought maybe that was a different show I was doing where I was talking about this, like, Latinos Lives Matter, like, manifesto that Ruben Blades wrote that was like, you know, Latinos are really the ones that are having it hardest, and all the just all of this stuff about how Black people are getting too much attention, pretty much. And like the amount of Latino people like co-signing it was like really disturbing. And I the real thing that got me was like, there are Black Latino and Latina people, so what are you really saying right now? Like, you're separating yourself from them too. Like, they don't get to claim your identity because you've decided that, like, yeah, blah blah blah, whatever. Because I don't see y'all fighting for Black people in Latin communities, yeah, and representation of Black people there, even though you have Black people that are huge parts of your community. Anyways, whatever. Let's keep it rolling with some black girl magic.
You just might be a Black Bill Gates in the making. I just might be a Black Bill Gates in the making. I see it. I want it.
Right. So,
you know, just as a aside, when you're mm-hmm. queuing that up and you're listening to it, I don't know if you know, but like when you play Formation, you go into like a
like a Black woman trance. I know, do.
It's like, oh, you can't not listen to the whole thing. And it's going to go through. You're just you're done. You're like, nope, that's
nah, it. It's so good. It's so
good. I see you mentally twirling on them haters.
Twirling on them. Twirling on all of them. Fuck them. So I came across this really amazing article called 31 Caribbean Women to Watch. So I thought it would be cool to kind of go through, because a lot of times... Well, anyways, I'll just go through them. Really cool people that you should know that are from the Caribbean, which is awesome. So the first one is Shayona Torini. She's a killer wardrobe and a squad that includes Solange Knowles. Shoshina is definitely one of the most stylish women in the world. She's a creative consultant, fashion freelance editor, and stylist from Bermuda, who's based in New York City. Up next is Amanda Seals, who I love. She is from Grenada, and she's a comedian host. She does all sorts of stuff. She's in a web series called Get Your Life, which is hilarious. And she also did that whole like catcalling commentary where she gave that dude the strongest side eye ever last year. Do you remember that?
Yeah, she follows me too.
Yeah. Oh, she does? Look at you. Cecile Watson is from Barbados. She's CEO and founder of Pitch and Choose, a Caribbean crowdfunding platform with the aim of providing access to capital for ventures and activities. She's a former banker and senior business leader. She's found her purpose as a entrepreneur. FKA Twigs. She's from Jamaica, and she's a songwriter, producer, and dancer. She's also engaged to Robert Pattinson, he of Twilight fame. Cecile Amiki is a Jamaican-British filmmaker, director, and artist based in London. And she did a short film called Aki and Saltfish, which had a series that happened after as well. It was very good. Aria Francis is from Grenada. She's been in the business. She's a model, and she's been modeling since 2010. Donna Avery is a Barbadian accountant turned entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and trainer. And she's been at one of the big six accounting firms for since the 1990s. Good Lord. Narissa Golden is a award-winning media strategist, business innovative specialist, and speaker from Montserrat. Who else was on here that I wanted to make sure I mentioned? Giselle Williams-Thomas is from Trinidad, and she's the founder of Gigi and Nini Designs in New York City. Kimberly Farah Singh, she holds the title of Miss World Trinidad and Tobago, and she is also an attorney. And last but certainly not least, Shawnee Miller, who's from the Bahamas, and she is preparing to kick ass and take names at the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. There's tons more of them, but they're amazing and gorgeous and beautiful and wonderful. And check them out. We'll have the link on the show notes. So shout out to all of those super dope black women.
You said, is it Bayesian or Barbado?
Bayesian is from Barbados, yeah.
Okay, I thought you said I thought you said the other word, Barbados and Bayesian. All right. Is that, what are people from Trinidad and Tobago called?
Trini.
Trini?
Mm-hmm.
There's no real segue to this. Actually, I was reaching. I was really searching. I was reaching.
No, not from that to that.
It's a GOP clown car.
Yeah, so it's, we've had a couple of debates. We're not even bothering talking about them. But there was both a Republican debate. We had all sorts of great stuff with Donald talking about his penis size. And we had the Democratic debate where Bernie and Hillary were going at each other. But no, I think I'm going to talk about secret Trump supporters. That not even this one says, not even my wife knows they're Trump supporters. So The Guardian reached out and spoke to some Trump supporters. And I'm just going to read a couple different because I'm kind of like, I don't say like boggled by folks that are Trump supporters. But mm-hmm. So I'll read a few. The 24-year-old Occupy protester turned Trump supporter from New York. He went from Occupy to Trump. His candidacy is ripping the soul of America apart, and we deserve it. I work in a liberal arts department. I've read the works of Karl Marx, Herbert Marcuse,
John Stuart Mill, Peter Gigi. Skip all of that.
He's given us his dossier. Chomsky. Okay, blah, blah, skibbity, boo, boo. I have to say about current affairs than Rachel Maddow. Wait a minute. I am more inclined to listen to what...
Don't even read any of that.
Good Lord.
All of that. You'd expect him to be about Bernie Sanders. He sounds like a libertarian, so that's what it sounds like he should be. That's what that whole first paragraph says.
I'm just gone to somebody else then.
Condescending fuck. What's his reason for voting? People should hear. That's the part you want to read. I don't give a shit about this dude. Fuck this guy.
My interest in politics did not truly develop into an intellectually mature form until 2001. Occupy Wall Street broke out as the populist leftist grassroots movement to combat the evils of unrestricted robber baron capitalism. Early in 2014, I began canceling my political concealing my political opinions from people, and it was shortly after this time that I began plotting to vote Republican in hopes that the party would send the country so far in the direction of complete unrestricted neoliberalism and libertarian free market superstition that Americans would come to recognize the dangers of these ideologies and eventually reject them. Are you fucking kidding me? That's what this guy... Are you fucking kidding me? He's fucking voting for Trump in a hope that it's going to drive the fucking country into such... And like, what a gobbledygook bunch of word salad.
There's several people like that on this.
Market superstition that Americans would come to recognize the dangers of these ideologies and eventually reject them. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like, you know what this is? That's the, like, the American Idol vote for the worst. That's just like, I'm going to vote for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I got to find another one. I can't fucking just read that one. The scientist who likes both Bernie and Donald. What? I'm very concerned about radical Muslims. Oh, dear God. I moved to San Francisco from the UK in 2000. He's a fucking immigrant. He's a fucking immigrant. I moved to San Francisco from the UK in 2000. I'm a citizen now. Good for you, sir. And now I don't want any other immigrants here. And I voted for Obama. I'm a closet Trump supporter, and I haven't told any of my friends or coworkers. They would think of me as a meathead if they knew. The funny thing is that I like Trump and Sanders, and there's no party or politician for me. I'm pro-abortion. Wait a minute. Don't say that, sir. You mean you're pro-choice. That's like the worst choice. No one's pro-abortion. You're pro-choice, sir. And pro-equal pay for women. I'm pro-gay marriage. I want to increase the minimum wage, and I'm prepared to pay higher taxes and higher prices for groceries and fast food to cover it. Oh, don't understand what the problem is. Pro-death penalty, but against the gun rights lobby. Seems interesting. I hate the Republicans' efforts to restrict voting rights for black people and the erosion of the Voting Rights Act, but I'm against affirmative action. Interesting. I'm very concerned about radical Muslims, and I liked Donald's idea to stop all immigration. I'm also
all Muslim immigration.
I'm also no supporter of Israel, and I'm pro the BDS boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. I'm concerned that some U.S. citizens have a loyalty to their own group over and above their loyalty to America and will lobby accordingly. That is such a fucking whistle to BLM, dude. I'm concerned that black citizens have a loyalty. I'm a patriotic socialist, but my strong borders patriotism wins over my socialism if I have to choose. As Donald says, we either have a country or we don't. But like, you didn't fucking 12 years ago. You immigrated. That's just so bizarre to me.
Oh, it gets weirder. All of these people are weird. Some of them are just like, the level of privilege that you have with which to like think, like, really, no matter what happens, you'll be fine.
Well, I bet you
that's what the long, like, that's how it feels in a lot of these. So they're able to make these, like, you know, grandiose, like, I'm gonna vote for Trump just to fuck shit up.
Here, this one's
I don't give a crap if shit gets fucked up because I'll be fine.
I bet you this is what you're talking about. There's a yoga teacher. I don't even have to read it, but I'm sure it's everything you're talking about. Don't publish my name. It would ruin my progressive image. A yoga teacher. Barack Obama talked about hope and change, but I believe he failed to deliver on his promises. His record with drone strikes and prosecutions of whistleblowers are especially troubling, not to mention he didn't follow through with prosecutions of those who caused the financial crisis. As far as Obamacare goes, I'm not buying it because it seems ignorant to throw money at a problem and hope it will get better. I'm glad more people are covered, but the plans aren't worth shit, as many of them don't kick in until you spend thousands on copay. No thanks. I just like... The inherent ignorance and wrongness in that statement is unbelievable to me, but that's okay. Bernie is a breath of fresh air, but I'm not sure he can beat Hillary. In a match between Bernie and Donald, I'd vote for the former. In a match between Hillary and Donald, I'd vote for the latter. It isn't a vote for Trump, but rather a vote against the political establishment, which must be removed from the office at any cost, even if it means electing a reality TV star for president. Holy fucking shit. Mm-hmm. The stakes are too high. Hillary cannot win, or the oligarchy will continue unabated. And please don't publish my name. It would ruin the whole progressive image, and my girlfriend might kill me. I bet a lot of pragmatic sorts are in the same boat.
Pragmatic? So you mean sexist as fuck? Is that what you mean?
She's basically saying, I like Bernie. I'll vote Bernie. But if it's Hillary, I'll vote Trump.
Yeah.
Is that for real?
There's a lot of people saying that. That's how I know Bernie ain't shit.
Wow.
And I might still vote for Bernie. I haven't even decided yet. I'm just saying that. I hear so much of that. That, like, basically, people that support Bernie will not be supporting Hillary. And that's why it's, like, really scary. It's crazy out here. Some of them are much more insidious to me, though. There's a lot of the ones, like, that you just read that are, like, they don't really believe in it. They're
What's
just...
What's one of the more...
What was the one that had...
There's a gay Arab Muslim student, an anti-PC college professor. Oh, my God.
No, this is the one.
He says he's an anti-PC college professor?
Yeah, that guy. That's the one. That's the really bad one. Where is it?
I'm angry at forced diversity.
Yes.
I'm a liberal left college professor in the social sciences. I'm going to vote for Trump, but I won't tell hardly anybody. My main reason is anger at the two-party system and the horrible presidencies of Obama and Bush. But I'm also furious at political correctness on campus and in the media. I'm angry at forced diversity and constant, frequent, unjustified complaints about racism, sexism, homophobia, lack of trans rights. I'm particularly angry at social justice warriors, and my main reason to vote Trump is to see the looks on your faces when he wins. Your face, he's like talking to me when he wins. It's not that I like Trump. It's that I hate those who can't stand him. I want them to suffer the shock of knowing all their torrents of blog posts and Tumblr bitch fest, and I just can't, and accusations of mansplaining didn't actually matter. They're all still losing, and the things that are not getting better for them, they're getting worse. Holy fucking shit, dude. Mm-hmm. To see the look on your face. That's what he fucking... I'm going to vote Trump to see the look on your face. Holy cow.
This other guy says he's an Hispanic attorney. He says that Trump has demonstrated that he is a caring person at heart. And then he goes on to say that before he ran, the left's stranglehold on the national conversation of what is or isn't tolerable was getting stronger by the minute. It was the year of Caitlyn Jenner, Rachel Dolezal, Black Lives Matter. Anyone who even hinted at disapproval was exiled. Every week, someone would dare to blurt out something un-PC and the media would absolutely crucify them. It had me thinking that that was it. We've lost. How on earth can we hope to defeat these people with their complete domination of the national conversation of relentless narrative of progress, tolerance, acceptance, feels?
Wow.
Progress, tolerance, acceptance, feelings. This dude is not having it, y'all. Political correctness is the birthplace of a disastrous, un-American policies that will destroy the country in a death by a thousand cuts. But here comes Trump, the first person who didn't even blink when the machine turns its sights on him. He didn't just fight back. He chewed it up and spit it out.
Fuck it. Listen to this. You're right. These are so much worse. The white male retiree. Trump is a wake-up call. I'm a highly educated PhD, MBA, JD, and a licensed attorney. I'm a British by birth and naturalized American. I grew up in England, appreciating the free medical care and education I received. And in that sense, you could say I understand the position of Bernie Sanders. All my life, I voted Democrat. I'm also unemployed by forced early retirement and unable to get a job because, in my perception, I am too old, male, and white. You might be overqualified for everything with all those degrees. But anyway, you may think that discrimination over these factors is illegal and therefore not practiced here. I can tell from my experience as a hiring manager that you would be wrong. As a hiring manager, that you would be wrong. There is not even any point in me showing up for an interview now. If I try to hide my age and race on my resume, it becomes clear when you meet me in person. You're trying to hide the fact that you're white? For the first time in my life, I feel disadvantaged by factors over which I have no control. The tension between my liberal politics and the real world has become too much to live with. Your publication and others have endlessly described the demographics of a Trump supporter. People look at me and assume I think a certain way. I'm tired of being looked at with these assumptions in mind. I may as well join the Trump bandwagon simply because that's how I look and am treated. He's a wake-up call. A President Trump could be as bad as Hitler, but if he shocks some people in both parties and good people in both the Republican and Democratic parties into realizing that they're ignoring legitimate concerns of a sizable minority, he means white men, then let him have his 4 years.
Literally, it's the MRA.
Holy fucking A, dude.
Yeah.
Literally, dude? Oh my Christ.
We better move on before you.
Yeah, I'm gonna fucking.
You're about
to
fucking lose it.
Oh my God. I could just let that play, but I'll take it down.
Well, that's nice of you. So Obama this week responded to the viral video of the girl who was not ready for him to leave office. Let's listen into the video first.
Why are you crying? Tell me why you crying so you can tell everybody.
The Barack Obama video.
I know. So he can only serve 2 terms. And his time is up.
No!
It's okay. We gotta vote for another president.
I'm not ready.
I wasn't ready.
I'm not ready for a new one.
It's okay.
It's adorable.
Oh, she, so
and I feel her entirely. Yeah. I resemble that. I'm not ready
he
either.
He has been here only 8 years.
Oh, she's so upset, you guys.
It's okay. We can write him a letter. You want to write him a letter? Well, we'll write him a letter, okay? Yeah. Stop crying.
Obviously, this went viral. Everybody was sharing it everywhere, especially black people. Just like, girl, we know. Mm. So President Obama got back to her.
Love it.
Because he's cool like that. He responded to her. He sent a letter It says, Caprina, tell her to dry her tears because I'm not going anywhere. Once I leave the White House, I'll still be a citizen just like her. And when she grows up, she can get involved right alongside me. In the meantime, I'll keep an eye out for her letter and we'll always get to celebrate our birthdays together. So
nice.
Go ahead, Obama.
He's the shit, dude.
Obama loves the kids.
That's why kids are going to miss you.
Yes.
Because you do shit like that.
And I also just think, like, we talk about representation again. Like, there's this, like, entire, like, youth of children, 8 years of their most formative years was this man as the president. I just think about what that does to them, like, socially and just, like, in their consciousness and just the idea of that, I just feel like it's so significant to, like, all you've known is Obama. Like, really, even high school students now, let's say they're 18. So 8 years ago, how old would they have been?
8 years ago?
10. So they're 10 years old. So from 10 to 18, that's like all your formative years. All of them. All of them. You had President Obama for 10 to 18. That's significant. Anyways, lucky kids. So we're going to do a track the trailer, yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
Track the trailer!
So we've got Ghostbusters?
Yeah, the Ghostbusters movie.
You playing it or am I?
I'll play it.
All right, I'm going to play at the same time so I can watch it.
Okay. Here we go. It's 30 years ago. Four scientists saved New York. This summer, a new team will answer the call.
It's a class 4 apparition. It's okay, she seems peaceful.
My name is Erin Gilbert, doctor of particle physics. That stuff went everywhere, by the way, in every crack. Very hard to wash off.
We've dedicated our whole lives to studying the paranormal. Now there's sightings all over the city.
There are people out there that need our help.
Holtzman, you're a brilliant engineer.
Erin, no one's better at quantum physics than you. We can provide a real service.
I'm joining the club. You guys are really smart about this science stuff, but I know New York. And I can borrow a car from my uncle.
You didn't disclose that the vehicle was going to be a hearse.
It's a Cadillac!
Let's go.
Let's go.
Oh.
Did you want to?
Sorry. I'll let you. Next time. Okay.
Someone is creating a device that amplifies paranormal activity. And we might be the only ones who can stop it.
Holtzman, come on!
The hat is too much, right? Is it the wig or the hat?
There's a bigger picture at hand here. These ghosts can possess the human form.
The devil is a liar! Get out of my friend, ghost!
Ow, that's gonna leave a mark!
The power of pain compels you!
Ow!
Mm-hmm.
What's with Leslie's character? That's a bit strange.
Man, I was so excited for this movie. Why did they have to have the black girl be MTA attendant? Not that there's anything wrong with MTA attendants. It's nothing to do with that. But you have these three white women that are scientists, and she and Leslie's character knows New York. It's such a, like, trope.
Wasn't Ernie Hudson an MTA agent or no?
No. Ernie Hudson, funny that you should mention him, because somebody brought this to my attention, actually was from earlier in the year, but it's called The Painful What If That Haunts Ghostbuster Ernie Hudson. And because the film just had its 30th anniversary, hence the new one that's coming out. And he talks about when he was first approached with the movie and he got the script, he was really excited about it because the character, I'm quoting him here, the character Winston was amazing, and I thought
I'm 9,000 foot up, preparing to land in the long ocean.
I think that's me, but I don't know what's playing. Oh, I think it just like kept playing more videos after that.
So back to Ernie.
Anyways, he said that when he originally got the script, the character Winston was amazing, and I thought it would be career-changing. The character came in right at the very beginning of the movie and had an elaborate background. He was an Air Force major, demolitions guy. It was great. Now, he says over the years, he heard it was written for Eddie Murphy, but after a long audition process, he got the part and made the awful mistake of letting it be known that I really, really wanted it. In Hollywood in those days, you set your quote. So if anybody calls about wanting to work with you, they had to meet your quote. I just worked with Columbia, and my quote was pretty decent. So Ghostbusters, they came in at half his quote because they said this role was going to make my career. I said to my agent, I don't care. I'll just take it because I believe that. So we go to New York and rehearse for 3 weeks or whatever, and he's ready to roll. And the night before filming, he gets a new script.
No.
The character was gone. Instead of coming in at the very beginning of the movie, like page 8, the character came in on page 68 after the Ghostbusters were already established. His elaborate background was all gone, replaced with me walking in and saying, if there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you say. So that was pretty devastating.
They reduce his character literally to a fucking... God damn.
So he talks about he was panicked. It was like his worst nightmare come true. The next morning, he rushed to set, pled his case, and Ivan told him that the studio felt that they had Bill Murray, so they wanted to give him more stuff to do. And he's like, okay, I get that, but can I even be there when they're established? Of course, he said no, and there's nothing to be really done about it. It was just this awkward elephant in the room. He says, I see this differently now, and I don't mean any kind of animosity or anything towards anybody, certainly not towards Ivan or the guys. I was a single dad, and we were struggling to kind of hold on and pay the rent. I still needed to do this job. 30 years later, I look back at the movie, and it works well the way it is. I think the character works with what he has to work with, but I've always felt like, man, if I could have played that original character.
Oh man.
Winston wasn't included on the movie poster, the trailer, or any of that stuff.
You're doing the same shit to Leslie. Uh-huh.
I don't know about that. She's certainly on the movie poster. I felt had the original character been in play in the beginning, that would have been different because it would have clearly been four guys. It would have sent a signal to the studios and very likely impacted my career in a different way. I think the fans see Ghostbusters as four characters, and I sometimes do the conventions. And the question he always used to get, where does Winston go with the little Ghostbusters that they like deputize or whatever? And he goes, that's the thing about Winston. He'll pop up and disappear. They used to like to say that Danny's the heart of the Ghostbusters. Harold was the brain. Bill was the mouth, and Ernie was the soul. When I heard that quote, I was blown away. And then I saw them on The Tonight Show, and there was no mention of the soul. So Winston could always disappear.
Wow.
Anyways, it goes on a little bit longer than that, but it just really had me thinking like about that movie, the trailer. And when I read this, I was like, oh man, like I mean, Leslie's come out and said a lot of people mentioned this aspect of the fact that her character is seemingly automatically on a lower tier than the other white characters, and she says, you know, she doesn't agree with it, but whatever. Lots of people have mentioned it and just saying that it sucks and we're disappointed about it, and we're really excited. And again, it just shows they don't understand the audience that they should be courting when diversity is a goal. So, and that white people wrote it. Just saying.
And even that but people don't understand diversity's purpose even.
Nope.
They think of it like you said, like, oh, it's just a numbers game. We'll just get a couple more people and, you know, that's that.
Yep.
And diversity's done. But no, I mean, look at I don't think we talked about it on the podcast. I mean, we did the last week that had the crappy audio. But there was an actual cost to fucking Red Lobster not having enough diversity on staff and their social media. Like, they blew like the $1 billion fucking formation benefit. They're just dropped in their lap. And I'm not saying like every team should be ready for that to happen, but like if you had some diversity when that did happen, you'd be like, oh, okay, right, let me listen to the, you know, this person. And instead, they took 6 hours of a bunch of fucking, like, you know, like, crusty old fucking old people, like, I don't know, it's Beyonce, should we do it? What does the song mean? Have you seen the video? There's a cop in the video. I don't know. Should we do anything? What should we do? And then 6 hours later, it's like, nope, you blew it. Mm-hmm. And they could have fucking, if they'd come out with some fucking, like, I don't know what. Can you imagine if they had, like, a bounce back come in, like, print this in the next so many hours and come into Red Lobster? Fuck me. They already had a huge boost. They had, like, a 33% jump in sales anyway. But, so diversity, it's not just a fucking numbers game, and it's not just, like, oh, here and that. It really, when you fuck it up, there's, you don't, it's, I think people don't always understand it. They don't always see, because it's an opportunity loss cost. It's not always a direct fucking, like, you know, hit to the bottom line. It's just an opportunity loss. They don't recognize it as such, but it's and so back to the trailer. I too immediately saw Leslie's character and thought, wow, that's strange. They're putting her in a weird kind of position, but they did the same thing to Ernie, so I wasn't, like, you know, surprised, I should say. But I think it looks true to the original. I think it's probably going to be pretty funny. I think they're
definitely striking the same tone.
Yeah, I think that even the CGI they're doing looks kind of similar. Mm-hmm. And I love Kristen Wiig, and I love
Melissa McCarthy.
And who's the other SNL chick?
Oh, yeah,
the
blonde girl. I don't know her name. Oh, but she didn't say anything in any of the trailer. It was weird. She had, like, one line.
She's got a couple of good characters on SNL now.
She does. She's a very good character actor.
But I think it'll be a good movie.
It'll be good. We'll see.
I'll probably go see it in the theater.
We'll see. We'll see what else is out.
We'll see what else is out.
I won't commit to that. Okay. So I also wanted to just do a little, since we missed last week, recap of the greatest Black History Month ever.
Let's do it.
Countdown. So how about when Twitter gave the hashtag Black History Month a new custom emoji of the three colored fists? Fucking awesome. Love that. I used it all month long. Or when Beyonce got us into Formation by giving us a self-love single and the world a politically charged video.
Like the beginning, like week one.
Week one. And then double down on that message at the Super Bowl the next day when Panthers quarterback Cam Newton and his smile also made it to the big game. Even though he lost, it was great to see the MVP up there. When Kendrick gave the blackest Grammy performance ever after winning Best Rap Album of the Year. When ABC Entertainment named Channing Dungey president, making her the first black person to run a broadcast network. When Black-ish kept it all the way real during the show's episode on police brutality.
That show keeps it real.
Ooh, every that show week. Was good. When 106-year-old Virginia McLaurin danced with the Obamas. That was so good. And President Obama had a picture-perfect moment with this little black boy. It's a little black boy looking up at him. He's just kind of got his hands on his face. And the tweet says, every child, no matter who they are, should have the opportunity to achieve their dreams. Hashtag Black History Month. In fact, the Obamas just kept showing out during their last Black History Month in the White House. They had this whole party. They did a whole tribute, I think, to, I can't remember who the singer is. I haven't seen the whole thing, but they did it on, it was on PBS. They also, Michelle hosted that whole day of black dance at the White House. Girls were there dancing in the White House, performing there. It was amazing. When PBS aired the incredible documentary on the Black Panthers, and it sparked a great conversation on Twitter. When the Schomburg Center, when the New Yorker honored Harlem Schomburg Center with this cover. Every time we saw all of February's Black Girl Magic magazine covers. When the New York Times did a feature on what it's like to be a person of color in Hollywood. When Rihanna dropped the work video. When Black Twitter gave us hashtags like Trap Cover and Rap Squat History Week. When the Jesse Owens biopic hit theaters, although I've heard some problematic stuff about that movie. When Ryan Coogler and Ava DuVernay threw a Justice for Flint event the same day as Oscars and raised over $100,000 for the city. When The American Girl released its third black doll on the company's 30th anniversary. And when Kanye released Ultra Light Beams, which I actually haven't listened to yet. Have you?
I have not.
You love Kanye.
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you liked Kanye.
No, I liked College Dropout.
Oh, you like
his first two albums.
The other one. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean the other one?
The new Kanye.
Yeah, no. Graduate and College Dropout's about as far as Kanye. I get. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't hate him. I just, not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did have one piece of music that I came across I thought people might like to hear. Let's go. It's by Terrica June. It's called But Anyway. Kind of like old school. She's from D.C. It's about gentrification.
Today's a good day, know it's finna be sweet. I'm listening to Dom on Kennedy Street. Remembering the West Coast where the energy's sweet. I did my yoga this morning so my memories peak. But anyway, off-grid shit, nothing to tweak. The city still filling up with those who dance offbeat. More than 140 characters and all of them weak. They walk by low eye, act like they can't speak. They walk dogs. When I say that, I don't mean they feet. That's cause they scared of their neighbors, them they don't wanna meet. But anyway, this third generation for me. My parents and my grandparents all from D.C. So I feel like I know the things other folks can't see. And like I represent things other folks can't be. And I remember all black on the green line. And all the kids had jobs in the summertime. Say what you want about Barry, but he cared for the poor. And that ain't who these new fools working for. I tell them that ain't who these new fools working for. They trying to kick us all out and just build more stores. But anyway, I could go on forever about all of the bullshit. I'm trying to make it better, or even about me. And the 21st letter, I feel like I know you. Even though we ain't together, live forever. Okay, you getting money, well I'm getting peace of mind that you can't take from me. So I feel I'm doing fine, and as long as I love me, I follow my own signs, and the world can't judge me. Pretty hard. Speed cameras send me pictures in the mail. I hate this city sometimes, but oh well. What can I do? Pay the damn ticket. Think it's unconstitutional. You know, but I don't pick it. Nah, there's other battles, other cages to rattle. They still locking us up and trying to hurt us like cattle. I talk about it cause nobody else tattles. They taking juveniles to Iowa, they saying that'll teach them, but it won't. I swear on everything, man, the system is a joke. Not rehabilitation, and it's not about hope. It's about the corporations, $10 sold. And $10 for 10 minutes on the phone till you broke. Where they recording every single word that you spoke. They probably ignoring every single word that I wrote. Cause if I ain't burning down, I was only blowing smoke. But anyway, I can go on forever about all of the bullshit. I'm trying to make it better, or even about me. And the 21st letter, I feel like I know you. Even though we ain't together, live forever. Okay, you getting money, well I'm getting peace of mind that you can't take from me. So I feel I'm doing fine, and as long as I love me, I follow my own signs, and the world can't judge me. Pretty hard, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was that sample Lisa Loeb? Who's that?
That's Suzanne Vega.
Suzanne Vega.
Yeah. And all, she also had they got a master plan. I don't know why I'm blanking right now.
That's all right.
Rakim, Eric B. and Rakim, sorry. But that's Terrica June. We'll have the link in the show notes. I thought it was a really good song. I liked it when I heard it.
Nice.
It was really, really good. Dope. Creed. We watched Creed for a second time.
Still love it.
Yo. That Ryan movie Cooper's is so good as shit, fucking dude. Good.
There's so many, like, when you watch it, not that I didn't catch it the first time, but watching it the second time, you realize there's not, like, a missed, like, every little piece builds on something else, like, there's no, the MacGuffin's perfectly logical, like, everything works really well.
What's great about the movie, and I see that it's so smart, Ryan is so smart, Coogler, because he realizes that Rocky doesn't need to be defined in the space, right? You just can have things happen to him. You know your audience knows so much about the character, so you don't have to spend a lot of time developing that. And so that allows him to make both Creed, both Adonis and Bianca such three-dimensional characters, because you have time to do that, because you don't have to do that with this big character in the story. It's so fantastic. Like, really, like, Adonis, like, it's all these little subtle things, like, that he kept bringing the food in after he wanted, you know? Like, all these little things that I just, it was such a tender story. It was so beautiful. And then I know I had read that he actually wrote and came up with a story at, when his dad was going through cancer. And so he had this idea about, you know, somebody who is so strong and a hero coming up against this kind of obstacle. What happens to somebody like Rocky in that moment? And it just is such a great movie. My mom loved it. She mentioned to me like three more times. She goes, man, that movie was so good. It was so good.
She got good taste.
Mm-hmm, she does. And then what else TV-wise? I mean, we're just still trying to catch up. Walking Dead's been sick as fuck.
Yeah, Rick and his crew, fucking, like, they're as bad as the wolves now.
I mean, and just reshown. Hello.
Yeah, but seriously, hello. Though, this, like, mercenary fucking killing people in their sleep and shit,
yeah,
dude.
It's
like,
pretty.
It's fucking brutal. Like,
pretty. Spoiler alert.
But what makes them better than fucking any of these wolves? They say they're so bad, you know? And you and I talked, I think, quite a few seasons ago about the first time they killed. In fact, you can go back to when Rick killed.
Shane.
And I remember saying, like, you know, that's fundamentally different for them. Like, their experience and their navigation of the world has changed.
Yeah.
And you can see it with everybody. When fucking Carol put down her number, dude, yeah. Like, you didn't know what she's doing. You're, like, reading it, like, what is that? And then we had to go back and, like, oh, fuck, that's her fucking, like, that's her body count, man. That's bonkers.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to spoil stuff for people because it just came on last night, so... Chill on that. Just saying, it's really good. The Good Wife's been amazing. This final, we have only four more episodes left. I can't believe it's coming to an end. I think it's good. It's. I feel like it's going somewhere specific, and it feels like we're gonna like it. I think.
I wouldn't expect anything less from the writing crew.
No, their writers are so amazing. I tweet them all the time.
They took out a multi-million-dollar spot on the Super Bowl to announce the end of it.
Yeah.
So I think that not only were they aware and they knew, but I think that they know they've got something that's going to be
for the fans. They said that they are ending it exactly the way they planned to end it from the very first episode. So
not a lot of shows get to say that.
No, it's pretty cool. Anything else that's been really good?
I'm trying to think if I'm watching anything. Whatever. Everything I watch, you watch.
Yeah,
I haven't watched anything.
But do you remember anything else we've been watching that you want to mention to the peoples? Usually end with a few TV shows or what have you. And if you don't have anything, it's fine.
It's all gobbledygook. We've been watching so much
because you were gone for so long. I was gone for 2 full weeks. Yeah, it's been a pain. Well, Major Crimes has been weird. I'm so on the fence. I feel like it's going to make me not want to watch the show next year, and it's going to suck. So you're doing this whole like police
shooting. It's a 5-story arc, and there is basically going to be like a dirty cop or the one black character is kind of like a shitty heel of a person.
One of the two things, guys. So we'll
it's
see
either
what
dirty cop or the one black.
They've
person.
Had dirty cops before, but I don't know. It's going to be kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think that's going to be dirty cop. I don't think they're playing it.
Oh, so Gedrick's too big. I think.
Yeah, that'd be.
He's like, why cast him?
Why if he's not the dirty cop?
Not
going to
be the real. I'm
within that.
Unless he's supposed to be the hero.
I don't know if we've talked about it on this show, but man, I love that Superstore.
Oh, Superstore is
Cloud
so
9.
Funny.
That's just a riot,
so
man.
Funny.
Cracks me up.
So did,
no laugh track.
No laugh track. So people might not know this, but 15 years ago, Missy Elliott released the seminal Get Your Freak On.
15 years.
15
wow.
fucking years. The year we got married. And they have a little quiz to see how well you know it. Let's see. Oh, boy. Looks hard. Oh, they're playing the whole thing. It's a video quiz. Oh, I can't take it then. Okay, what's Missy's first line in the song? The options are hit me, headbanger, misdemeanor, give me some new shit. So which is it?
Hit me.
Oh, hit me. Uh-oh. Headbanger is the answer.
Hit me.
Damn it!
Damn, Drew. Oh, boy. I'm scared now. I might not know it.
Missy be putting it down. I'm the hottest round. I tell y'all motherfuckers, y'all can't stop me now. Listen to me now.
And the first lyric, listen to me now. I'm going out of bounds, bringing fire sounds, always on the prowl, lasting 20 rounds.
Lasting 20 rounds.
Okay.
I'm lasting 20 rounds.
Yeah.
And if you want me,
with me now? Is you with me now? Yes. The biggie, biggie bounce.
I know you like the way I switch my style. Holla!
People sing around. Now people gather around. Yes. Now people jump around.
Get your freak on. Get your freak on.
What does Missy scream after the
is
first
that your
verse?
Shit?
What's that hoe? Is that your girl? Is that your chick? Who's that trick?
Is that your...
Who's that hoe? I think it's who's that hoe.
Say him again.
Or is that your chick?
I thought it was that your chick.
Okay, is that your chick? Let's see.
Is that your chick? People you don't know. Me and Tim are living houses 20 years ago. What the dealio? Now what the drillio? If you want to follow me, then people, let me know.
Hello.
Got the feeling, son.
Montego.
Here I come. Now sweat me when I'm done. We got the radio shook like we gotta go.
Who's this famous rapper? Eve, Remy Ma, Debrat, and Trina. It's Eve. It's a big Eve. It's clearly Eve.
See the tiger tattoos?
Yeah, the paws.
Yeah.
Some paws on you.
Quiet. Hush your mouth. Silence when I spit it out. In your face. Open your mouth. Give you a taste. Hello. Ain't no stopping me. Copywritten, so don't copy me. Y'all do it sloppily. And y'all can't come close to me. I know you feel me now. Yes. I know you hear me now.
Scream it loud and proud. Missy gonna blow it down. Missy gonna mess around. Missy gonna catch the crown. Missy gonna change the sound. I think blow it down.
I think it's blow it down too.
Okay.
Missy gonna blow it down. People gonna play me now. In and out of town. Cause I'm the best around. With the crazy style.
Get your freak on. 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 Get your freak on.
Nate Dogg's in there. Who is not in Missy's early rap career? Genuine, Timbaland, Tweet, and Debrat. I'm going to say Debrat. Pretty sure. I think the other ones were in it. Yeah, Debrat was right. When's Timbaland counting Japanese? Get your freak on using mutilisms from what culture? India, Korea, Japan. Japan. Oh, no. They say India.
You don't want to speak my name. Mess around, get that ass blown away. Fool gone away. I ain't never let you tell anyway. Missy got something to say. I ride down the block in an Escalade. Bling, bling all in your face. I think you might need to put on your shades.
When Get Your Freak On ends, Missy goes into this single in the video. My People, Lil Shots, 1 Minute Man. I think it's 1 Minute Man. Or All In My Grill. I'm going to pick 1 Minute Man.
I don't know. I don't remember the video.
I know you feel me though. You're hating on me, but you hear me though. 20 inch rim sitting crazy low. I'ma keep the party live. Me and Timbaland gon' flip it tonight. Keep your hands in the sky. Wave around like you're crazy high. Huh. Time to lick shots. Time to see you dance. Hey, you white friend. Time to lick shots. Time to see you dance. Hey, you white friend.
Well, there you go. We got four. Well, we got... Because one, I didn't press on time, we got it. But two of them, actually. So we got 5 out of 8 is what we got.
That's pretty poor.
Pretty bad showing. But it was 15 years ago, so that goes in our favor. Mm-hmm.
I'll take it.
Uh-huh.
I'll take it. Actually, I'll take 5 out of 8 any day. Mm-hmm. That's not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad.
I bat about 250, so 5 out of 8 is pretty good.
Well, we will be back Wednesday with Hiroja from Musings of a Sheba.
Cryptocurrency.
podcast. And so that'd be great. Again, you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. You can follow me on Twitter at Leslie Mack. That's M-A-C. And you can follow that guy at Very White Guy.
Oh, notice me, senpai. Notice me.
And tomorrow we should be doing the Cooking John, but we should talk about that.
Maybe. Oh, you do not get to spring that on me now.
No?
No.
No?
No.
No?
Nope.
Well, we could talk about it.
Good night, everybody.
High five?